in the bar. Lone Star State tipplers are said to be very upset. For the Head On Radio Network, I'm Bruce Birch.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Oh, yeah. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're back. Me and the mouse in my pocket. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. It's your nightly confrontation with the facts. The lovely Agnes is out at baseball practice right now, so I'm freewheeling behind the board. That will explain why, if you choose to call the program, you're not going to get screened. The button's just going to be pushed, and I'm not going to have a clue who you are. Ooh, lurkers. Isn't that exciting? Now, I humbly apologize for last night. We had technical issues. What? There's a lot of computers involved with all of this, not one of which I completely understand. But we had a problem with a particular computer program, and it kept us from being able to go. But it's fixed, and we're hot, and we're rocking, and I'm glad. Because, you know, we missed last night's prayer meeting edition, for God's sakes. I feel like a sinner of some sort. We didn't get it in, and it just it's disturbing. Makes you feel bad. But it's okay. We've got tonight, so well.
The afternoon discussion club. We are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
Darn right, even if it's Thursday. Right. Right. So, where you want to take the program tonight is entirely up to you. You are as much or more important as far as this program is concerned than I am. I just don't have that whole egomaniac thing going for me tonight, nor most any night for that matter. But there's a couple of stories banging around out there that do deserve mention. We still have not managed to have much of a discussion in the way of Dear Leader hanging that poor Christian man in Afghanistan out to dry. And the right-wing freaks are, Lord God, Billy Bob, they are in a tizzy. Why, how could Dear Leader possibly let somebody, let the Muslims kill a man just for being a Christian? We gave them freedom in Iraq, or Afghanistan, we give them freedom, and this is how they repay us? Of course it is. Of course it is. Poor, stupid little religion industry freaks. Didn't understand that the Afghan constitution was drafted in such a way as to make sure that, yeah, they can kill Christians. So, that's where it is tonight. And as you may have heard Bruce mentioning in the top of the hour news, the sheet has come off of the great big clavern that is the Republican Party again. KTRS St. Louis. I hate Condoleezza Rice. I wouldn't throw a warm bucket of spit on her if she was on fire. But I'm not going to call her racial epithets. I'm not going to use that. God, that's offensive. But, they do it. Tell you what, let's make things interesting. Let's go straight to the phones and see who we've got here. Hey, you're Head On. Hello?
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 Who's this?
This is Bob.
Oh, okay. I was waiting for Agnes.
Well, Agnes isn't here tonight.
Oh, okay.
She's got the kids at ball practice.
Okay, well, I just had a few comments to make about El Presidente.
Okay, that'll be fine. Jim, do me a favor, would you?
Is it too loud?
Yeah, let me turn those speakers down, and that way everybody can hear you.
I just want to be sure. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Well, we'll get there in a minute. Ah, there we go. I don't hear the speakers anymore, so we're making real progress.
1,000 apologies.
No, that's okay. That's okay. These things happen.
I just heard something about Bush today that I thought was kind of interesting.
Well, tell us, please.
Well, after 60 years, he decided, after 60 years of living as a man,
mm-hmm.
he decided to have the operation.
Do tell.
That's what somebody called me and told me, and I said, oh, well.
Well, he hasn't been much of a success as a man now, has he?
No, not really, and not in anything that he's done.
Not much success as a human either, for that matter.
No, and I understand that a little things about Cheney, when he checks into a hotel, that it must be at 68 degrees. The microwave must, of course, have a guard on it to prevent it from interfering with the functions of his pacemaker.
Yeah, right.
And he has to have 4 bottles of either Perrier or Calistoga water.
That's correct.
And she has to have 2, Lynn, if she's with him.
Right. Queen or king-size bed.
Uh-huh. And then, of course, the TV has to be set on what he calls the true non-biased news, which is Fox.
Right.
And if that's the only news channel he watches, no wonder he's in such a bubble.
Well, you know, I'm surprised the temperature's all the way up to 68 degrees. I was expecting more more morgue-like temperatures, Jim.
Like tomb temperature?
Yeah, well, at least cellar temperature, you know, 54 degrees.
Yeah, I guess so. But my Lord have mercy.
And, you know, it amazes me. These people really are dumber than a bag of bugs. I've got the list here, too. And it specifies diet caffeine-free Sprite. Now, Jim, if you can direct me to a can of non-caffeine-free Sprite, diet or otherwise, I will stand on my head.
I don't think I've seen that either.
It doesn't exist. All Sprite is caffeine.
Especially for him, who knows?
Well, you know, I kind of think that everything they do is laced with something, because that's the only way you could be the way that they are.
They are indeed a very strange lot of people, and you know, I don't understand how they're, you know. Bush today was talking about how the economy is going great guns and how he's trying to help the economic flight of the American people, including the middle class. And yet, you know, he's driving GM is practically going into receivership, and what isn't being put in receivership is over in China. And, you know, it's just incredible to see how this man can actually stand up there behind the podium and say some of the outlandish things that he does and present his administration as being, you know, fair toward all these people who are being so desperately hurt.
Well, they're detached from reality. I mean, I joke about it from time to time, but most ordinary human beings would have to be on some pretty bad drugs to be as detached from reality as these people are. You're right. What the business about GM? Is it sinking in? Do you think, Jim? Is it sinking in on the American psyche what it's going to mean when GM does go bust?
Oh, I don't think so.
I mean, that's going to be like pulling a couple of stars off the American flag.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the foreign policy he's pursuing. I mean, this thing in Afghanistan. I mean, here they have this guy in Afghanistan you were talking about, a Muslim who's converted to be a Christian. Well, they're gonna cut his head off. And Bush just still thinks there's wonderful things going on over there, and yet that country is producing more heroin and opium than it ever has before.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, Jim. And the thing is, the religious right is having a hissy. And I'm not surprised by it. I mean, they have a hissy over everything that doesn't matter. But, you know, the mindset of these people. Talk about the swallow a mountain and gag on a gnat. They have enabled a man who has killed over 100,000 innocent women and children in Iraq, and they're having a hissy over one guy in Afghanistan. I'm not saying that what's going on in Afghanistan is right.
I mean, talk about straying at gnats and swallowing them, my God.
Yeah.
And yesterday I received a telephone type of survey, and it came from Alabama. And I told some friends about it, but basically they were asking me about local candidates here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But on a more national sense, they were asking about, number one, how did I feel about abortion? Number two, how many times I went to church on Sunday? Or how many times each month I went to church?
Nosy people, aren't they?
And they were asking me about, they wanted to know which candidate I was going to vote for in the local primaries here. And I thought to myself, you know, I told them, I said, it's none of your business who I'm going to vote for.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, as far as my religious life is concerned, that's none of your affair either.
True.
And I said, you know, I cannot believe that you have the temerity to call here at the dinner hour and ask questions of this nature. And I don't know who was sponsoring this, and I tried to call the number back because it popped up on my caller ID. It rang 10 or 12 times and then said, punch in your security code. So I mean, you know, I don't know.
Did they mention local candidates by name, Jim?
Yeah, by name.
Did you get a sense of any particular focus? Was it? Because that kind of sleazy stuff sounds like something Russ Weeks might get up to.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
And for those in the national audience,
Weeks.
Yeah, we've got a right wing clown named Russ Weeks over in Raleigh County. Who couldn't find his rear end with both hands, and he plays and prays to the right wing, uterus hating club?
Yeah, he does. And basically, you know, he's a frequent habitué or guest or whatever on the morning show, Mr. Steve O'Brien, which is a local show of just pure idiocy and misinformation for those of you who don't understand what's going on here in Beckley. But we have this guy who's just a snake oil salesman who will basically say anything that will further his own interest, who has no moral compass whatsoever.
That pretty much sums it up. So are you pretty, were they asking about the Senate race?
Yeah, they sure were. They wanted to know how I felt about this person and that person, and I don't really want to call anybody by name, okay?
Sure.
And I think the people around here, I mean, it wouldn't make any difference to our listeners who are outside this radius, you know, anyway. But, I mean, they were being very specific about these people. And I said, you know, I don't even know these people. And if I did, I would not tell you. And, you know, I don't want you to call here anymore.
Good. Good. But, you know, I mean, like I said, if it came out of Alabama, it was Republican-generated. You can bet.
Of course it was. And it was something for Rust S. for Brains Weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've heard him, I've listened to that morning show sometimes after Imus goes off. And I don't know if you saw, well, you didn't see Imus this morning, but God, did they have a one-liner on there that would just knock your socks off? They were talking about, I'll get to that in just a minute, but after Imus goes off, then O'Brien comes on, and then he's guffawing like some idiot, and then he has, and, you know, he sounds like, you know, he's just, it's a contrived laugh, you know?
Right.
I mean, it's not even good theater.
yeah, one of those.
Thing, you know, and it's just, anyway, for anyone who can imagine the very worst of radio, this is the very worst of radio, and I hope he's listening. I really do. But on Imus, you know, I don't know how that man gets away with some of the stuff he pulls. I really don't.
Well, he's a multimillionaire, and that makes it a little bit easier. But they haven't run him off the satellite yet, quite like they did Stern.
Well, no. I mean, Howard Stern was saying things, I mean, that were just absolutely, totally, and beyond the pale of any form of, you know, acceptable decency, as far as I'm concerned.
And yet the odd thing is, Jim, he never used any dirty words. You know, the so-called seven words, the George Carlin list. He didn't use any of those. He just talked about gross stuff.
Well, now, I heard that he used the F-bomb 140 times in 2 hours. Now, you know, that's how you get misinformation out.
Well, he may have done that on Sirius by now.
That's what he did on Sirius, yeah.
Yeah, and
he did some pretty wild things on E, when he would be on late night, and he would have these guests on there, and they would do all these things that were just, you know, at the time, laughable. And then I said, you know, why am I watching this? I said, this is not even, I mean, you know, if Price were to come back to Earth tonight and find me watching this, I don't think he'd be very pleased. And I just sort of, that's something that just goes through my mind.
Well, at least you engage in that kind of inquiry. Like I said, you know, moving back to what we were talking about earlier just a little bit, we've got, I got another one of these notices from the American Family Association. They're all head up because Ford Motor Company sponsors a program in which two lesbians kissed on CBS. I kid you not.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that is indeed regrettable.
But it's the world we live in, Jim. And I mean, maybe we've got a chance to change it a little bit here and there. But a news story that was pointed out to me by one of the folks in the Head On Radio Network chat room last night. A rabbi in Israel has declared that bird flu is the fault of gay people.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, I understand in Constantinople, and before it fell to the Turks, that buggery caused earthquakes.
Well, you know, in a related story, I saw where a Buddhist monk declared that gays are responsible for embarrassing underarm stains.
Oh, God.
Tough crowd.
Oh, Imus, this guy who, you know, he has these people who play different characters like Jack Nicholson and Dr. Phil.
Yeah, sure.
Well, they were talking about Helen Thomas yesterday, and apparently Jack Nicholson, wasn't very happy. And somehow wove this into the statement of something about the beef bus going to Tuna Town.
Oh, God.
And, you know, I've heard that particular reference to that particular thing in every way possible, I thought, until this morning. And I said, I think it's time to hit the off button on this on this thing.
Yeah,
but I mean, how in the world Imus gets away with some of the stuff he does? And he's just so mean to people.
Well, you know, I
would hate for him to endorse me as a political candidate the way he endorsed John Kerry, because I mean, he would just say terrible things about Mr. Kerry.
Well, sure, and so much of that is pure Machiavellian politics applied to radio, Jim. Because I'm hearing a lot. You know, even my dad looked at me and said, you know, I kind of like Lou Dobbs now. And, you know, my take on that, you know, I'm glad Lou Dobbs is maybe finally talking a little bit of truth.
He has seen the light.
Yeah, but the thing is, I have a hard time feeling much sympathy for him, Jim, because he was an enabler.
Well, a lot of people were. A lot of people were back in 2000. And a lot of people have really seen what this man has done for this country.
And he was still doing it in 2004. It really, really crawls around my craw.
Well, apparently, from what I heard tonight, and a couple nights this week, he has had some type of epiphany. And what type it is, I don't know, but he is really slamming this administration for everything he possibly can.
Well, I'll take him serious the day that he calls for impeachment, Jim, because that's where we are. That's where it has to be now. This man has got to be removed from office for the sake of the nation.
And tried. He needs to be removed and tried.
Yeah.
We need to do more than just impeach him because, I mean, he is truly, in my opinion, guilty of high crimes and misdemeanors which warrant criminal prosecution.
Well, Newsweek now has the memos, the memo that Colin Powell wrote, among other things, about torture. Mm-hmm. And it's hair-raising to behold. Alberto Gonzalez, who sat there before the Senate and just lied like a rug about the torture issues. He specifically told George Bush to declare the Geneva Conventions inoperative because of what they were doing in the concentration camp at Guantanamo Bay and at Abu Ghraib.
That's just beyond the pale.
That's Nuremberg stuff.
Well, I know. And some of the stuff that you were talking about the other night. What do you call it? The preemptive warrant? Or is that the term?
Anticipatory warrant.
Anticipatory warrant. When they can actually just put a box of whatever they want, whether it's dope or whether it's kiddie porn on your desk or on your front porch, and then have somebody come up as a federal marshal dressed as a postman and delivering it to you and then put you in jail.
Welcome to, yeah.
I mean, this is stuff.
And
like,
the thing is, it's going into play on a more prosaic or pastoral local level. The Texas Alcoholic Beverage Commission. Have you heard this thing, Jim?
No.
The Texas ABC has declared that it has the right to march in Texas, Jim. Jim, Texas, for God's sakes, a state that railed against the idea that a guy didn't have the right to cruise down the highway with a gun rack on his back window of his pickup truck and an open beer in his hand. The Texas Alcoholic Beverage Commission is now walking into bars in Texas and arresting people for being drunk in the bar. And they say they're doing it to keep the drunk from doing something dangerous later. Isn't that the same thing?
Effectively.
I mean,
you know, I don't understand why these people have so little to do. Unless they're just flexing their muscles and they're showing people shades of things to come.
Jim, it's fascism.
Well, I mean, you know, pretty soon we're going to have another Night of the Long Knives, that type of thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In which everybody, and I'm sure they've made a list and they checked it twice to see who's been naughty and nice, and they're going to be knocking on doors at 3 o'clock in the morning, just like they used to in Stalin's Russia, and people are just going to become nameless lists on numbers that will be carelessly mislaid.
Well, Halliburton's got the contract to build concentration camps in the United States, some of which can hold up to serious percentages of a million people.
And people say that can't happen in this country. Well, I present this to you. It can happen in this country. And the likelihood of it happening is increasing more and more every day.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I thank you for your time, Mr. Kincaid.
You take care. You
Sorry
take
about
care, Jim.
The speaker.
Oh, that's all right. Anytime.
God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless. Take care. Bye now. And rolling along, just to say, hey, this is exciting. This is like a mystery. Hey, you're head on. Who have I got? Hello? You're head on. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Try line 3. Hey, you're head on.
Hey.
Hey.
Socrates is not dead, nor doth he sleep.
Okay.
Welcome back, Jim, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob.
Yeah. He is my friend, and he is very, very intellectual. His mind is like that of the great Socrates, and I need him.
Very, very, very nicely put.
And he needs me.
Well, I mean, the whole idea is that this is something that we're all in together, isn't it?
Yeah, but he needs me because I am the Spartan, the one that will stand in the mouth.
At the hot gates at Thermopylae. Go and tell, yes.
At the hot gates at Thermopylae, I will stand before them, the horde of all of them, for Socrates, my hero. My hero has intellect, but I have none.
Ah, now I quit that, Jim. Or Bob, quit that. Don't talk about you have no intellect. You've proven it time and time again.
No, I am a warrior, Bob. I have been a warrior. I was a warrior when I was a young man. I was raised to be one. But I want to say to my friend Jim, I'm glad you're back and keep coming back and keep pounding the truth. Because it is the truth. And, you know, he sees things that I don't see, and you see things I don't see. And that's why I keep listening. You know?
Yeah, it means the world to us.
And I worried last night. Oh, God, I was so worried. I thought, uh-oh, something happened.
Something did happen, Bob, but it was routine. It was a matter of a.
It was just a piece of machinery went down.
Yeah, it was a matter of a misbehaving computer program.
I was thinking flesh. I was thinking something that I love. You know.
Yeah.
The flesh, Bob. It's all we have. when you press the flesh, you shake the hand of the man. You think of him as a friend, and then sometimes he betrays you. But Socrates did not betray his people. He did not. He just...
No, and you know, it's interesting you would use the Socrates analogy, Bob, because if you read Plato, you will find that Plato despised, loathed a democracy because it was a democracy that killed his teacher.
Yes, of course. I know that, Bob. And it is the democracy that is killing our teachers and our... It is the democracy. It really is. It's that idea that, you know, every man has a vote. And when you steal the vote, like if you go on Bradblog,
yeah,
you will find that they have stolen the vote and they have stolen the soul of the nation. They've just ripped us off. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They have taken that which is not theirs and bestowed it on themselves, the voice of the people. And they've taken it away from us. Why? Because they're afraid of us, so it's time that we take it back. And the only way we can do it is to stand there at Thermopylae and keep back the hordes. If we have to die to do it, then we will die to do it.
Well, it's an honorable tradition, isn't it, Bob?
Yes, it is.
It's not like we'll be the first.
No, we'll be probably, I hope we're not the last, but for my grandchildren and yours and for my children, let's take it back. We can do it. All we have to do is vote in numbers they've never seen before. Burn their machines into hell where they belong. And let's get back to the real count. I mean, let's not even question their count. Let's burn the machines by overwhelming them. It's kind of like there's very few of us now, but we stand in a wedge. It was called a phalanx, was it not?
Phalanx.
We stood. And they had to take down the first and the next guy, and we pushed and we pushed and we fought for what we believed in back then when we stood in that gap between the hordes of hell and a democracy. And we lost, but maybe this time we can win.
Well, it looks like we're at least titularly trying to set up for a win. An interesting release has gone out from Howard Dean, chairman of the Democratic Party. And he has said that we are in place now for an unprecedented move on all 50 states. And, of course, that's one of the things that has him taking heat from Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid, because they want to continue to follow the Democratic losing strategy, where we give up on our brothers and sisters in Alabama and give up on our brothers and sisters in Tennessee and North Carolina and South Carolina and Florida and Georgia and Louisiana, Mississippi, Oklahoma, Texas, Arkansas, Missouri. We can't do that.
I was thinking about 13 miners.
Yeah.
In January, when you were trying to sit down and watch a ball game with your dad.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about those men that are past, 12 gone, one critically injured, so badly, his mind is gone. And his family and their families, still suffer, and nobody cares. And then today I listened to two veterans coming home from this awful place that we, the people of the United States, have sent them to in the name of a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And coming home and asking for one thing, okay?
Yeah.
What that yellow ribbon on the back of your SUV is supposed to represent is that you support the troops. Not you, Bob. I know you don't have a yellow ribbon in your dang house, and I wouldn't have one. When I see them, it enrages me.
Well, you know, I've picked a couple up at the convenience store from time to time, Bob, but the fact of the matter is I turn it over and it says Made in China,
yeah.
And I can't do it.
Yeah. No. They're not supporting the troops. It's that support George Bush sticker.
Well, precisely, and that's the thing. Did you catch dear leader at his appearance in Wheeling?
Bob, it was
nauseating. Okay, it was just disgusting.
I cannot listen to that monkey on a stump speak.
I know.
I cannot. It doesn't matter if Randy puts him on for a short segment. I mute it. I cannot listen to the voice. I cannot stand it because I want to be that wedge. I want to be at the point, the tip of the spear that drives these evil demons right back into hell where they came from.
I understand.
Sorry,
I understand. No, don't apologize. We get a few thousand more Bobs feeling the way you feel, and we can change things.
Well, it's the truth. It's the truth. I listen to Guy James today, and I know he's a big, fat, big, ugly white man with a lot of courage. I listen to him, and I'm so proud of him. I just love him because that man, and he lays down with his little puppy dog at night and with the pillows, so the puppy dog won't feel afraid. But I would not. No, with all that I got in me, I'd never brace him. I'd stand by him. I'd stand beside him and
sure.
Say, I love you. You are my brother. I'll fight with you, and I will die beside you. And we can each comb each other's hair. We can oil our hair. We can get prepared. We will stand before these evil demons out of hell that are called Republicans or Republicans or whatever the heck you want to call them. But they are not Americans. They're not. They are something else. They're neo-Nazis, neo-cons, fascists, I don't know what they are.
Yeah, just, bottom line, un-American.
They are not my neighbor, not in this state. And, Bob, God, I'd love to meet you. I would love to sit down with you and have a cup of coffee or a cup of Joe or whatever, a cup of... Well, maybe we just have one of them big oranges or lemonades or whatever, and we would just have, between us, we would have truth. I would not lie to you. You would not lie to me. You wouldn't try to take advantage of me. I
no.
would not try to take advantage of you. I love your lady. I just love her. I do. I've seen her green eyes, and I love her for who she is, not for, whatever. Because, you see, you're not trying to get something.
No.
You're trying to give something. You're trying to give the truth to a nation that is asleep and tell them to wake up, period. That's it. All you want to do is wake up the nation. And I want to say to Jim, I love you, brother. I know I test you, and I know who you are. You are Socrates because you speak with wisdom. I speak with mostly anger and sometimes rage, and I think I'm one of them leftovers from the Nordic Wars.
Could be, could be. Hey, Bob, see, you got me confused. Bob, we got to roll along, brother.
Okay.
I got folks on hold, but take it easy,
you
will
you?
You
know what a berserker is?
I know exactly what a berserker is.
Yeah, and that's me. I'm sorry, Bob.
No, don't apologize. I can believe that.
I'm just telling you what I do when I get in that situation, and I did, I shouldn't have, and I apologize.
Don't apologize. No, don't apologize at all. Well, we got to hit it.
Hit it. Hit it.
All right. Take care.
I love you, brother.
Later, Bob.
Take care, Bob.
Bye now. And a quick break. I got, for the bumper music tonight, somebody, Democratic Underground started a thread, turned me on to this new Dixie Chicks song. I get the feeling they're a little hot under the collar. So, enjoy. We'll be back after this break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I'm not sure it could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I paid price, and I'll keep paying. I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back down. I'm still mad as hell, and I don't have time to go round and round and round. It's too late to make it right. I probably wouldn't if I could, cause I'm mad as hell. Can't bring myself to do what it is.
Hey, listen, tell me something, John. Do you guys eat a lot of mangoes down there?
Not enough to base a foreign policy on.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. We don't eat that many of them here either.
The United States is India's largest trading partner, and India is one of the United States' fastest-growing export markets. And oh, by the way, Mr. Prime Minister, the United States is looking forward to eating Indian mangoes.
That's right. It's March Mango Madness. Nukes for mangoes, mangoes for nukes. Join Bruce and I, John Fox, this weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network. Catch us at fourthestateradio.com or headonradionetwork.com.
I found a reason, I don't need an excuse. I've got this time on my.
I'm Bruce Birch, and here's a little taste of All Things with Bruce Birch. We have leaders in power right now in the seat of government in Washington, D.C., that are hedging their bets. They're hoping that by not, you know, jumping around and opposing the president too vocally, that they won't upset the conservative-leaning members of their party. And, you know, I got to tell you something. If it quacks like a duck and walks like a duck and has feathers like a duck and sounds like Daffy Duck, maybe the damn thing's a duck. We expect you to act a certain way when you get into office. And we need a radical change. I'm sorry, but we do need a radical change in our war policy. Join me next Sunday night as I welcome guest Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine. That's All Things with Bruce Birch, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, allthingsreconsidered.org.
A man who has the heart of a conservative, pickled in a jar on his desk. It's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. I meant to tell you, I'm kind of sad tonight. I have very delicate sensibilities, and I'm easily hurt. And I went to my email box, bob@headonradio.com, and there I had an email from Clint in Cody, Wyoming. And he said, "You are possibly the most boring radio personality I've ever heard."
Evidently, he listens.
I'm possibly the most boring radio personality he's ever heard. And he's in Cody, Wyoming, and they have some pretty boring radio personalities in Cody, Wyoming. I don't know if I can go on. Okay? I don't know if I can go on. I'm just broken up. It's just terrible. It's terrible.
But thanks for listening, Clint. We know you'll be there every night because the people who love me listen 2 hours a night and the people who hate me listen 3. Let's go to our good buddy Luke in Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, Luke, you're head on.
Oh, Bob, I never find you boring.
Well, thank you. Thank you. There's some awful names you can call me, and boring is right up there.
I know. That's a downright mean.
It is. And that's the way these people are. They're just mean.
Okay. Well, let's get it out of the way. Okay. One thing, in about 10, 15 minutes, they're about to have the last re-show on the last night's Daily Show.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the one with Russ Feingold.
Right.
And it's about a 7-8 minute piece, I guess, when he comes on. It's the best simple little explanation of the whole thing. It's like, you know, I'm glad he got on the Daily Show because more people would probably see him than if he went through the network.
Oh, but without a doubt.
But, I mean, he just laid it out real simple. You know, had a nice simple conversation.
And for those who maybe can't get to their TVs in time, Luke, I noticed that the video is also up over at bradblog.com.
Yeah, I think it's also over at Crooks and Liars, too. So, but I mean, it was a real good thing that you won't see on the regular TV if anybody wants to see it. I just thought everybody ought to know it's out there.
Absolutely. It's not a complicated case,
no.
Impeachment.
And this is just a censure. I mean, all this is just saying bad president.
Yeah.
I mean, having a trial. This is just saying you did wrong.
Right.
That's all it's saying.
Yeah, it's don't do this again or we'll tell you not to do it again.
But I tell you, the one that got to me last night was watching, I think it was last night, maybe it was the night before, was watching Keith Olbermann. I tell you what, he just came unloaded against Laura Ingraham.
Oh, really?
Oh, he just had, I think it's also over at Crooks and Liars. I saw it too. His first segment last night was, you know, he was talking about the whole media thing. And he got on her where she dumped on like the NBC and the Today Show and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And he essentially just, you know, it wasn't her, you know what I mean, but he was talking to her. And I mean, just read her the riot act.
Well, and didn't, was it last night that he also referred to what happens when the falafel finger of fate points at you?
Yes. I'll tell you what, now there's a man who's totally losing his mind.
Oh,
thank
Bill,
heavens.
Well, you know, it wasn't a hell of a lot to lose there.
Well, I was going
to
say, it was a short trip.
Yeah.
Well, you saw the thing, didn't you, on his, where apparently now he's saying that NBC is the most anti-Bush network out there. It's like, I wonder what those people at the Today Show think about this when they have Bill on.
Oh, well, yeah, you know, I wonder, they've got to be laughing all the way to the bank. I mean, for God's sakes, they're owned by GE, and they make more money off of Bush administration war policies than just about certainly than any other broadcaster out there.
Well, the other one got me was hearing all these people in the mainstream media sitting here crying that, well, Bush was really showing himself up because he was showing he could stand up to people like Helen Thomas. I saw a gibbering idiot is what I saw. You know, when Helen Thomas questioned him, he was sitting there looking at his cards going, talking point do I give out next?
Well, it was that, and then there was the appearance, and, you know, I'm so ashamed of my brother and sister West Virginians for showing up and applauding that murderous clown in Wheeling. But the reason he went to Wheeling was because that's one of the last bastions, one of the last real honest-to-God enclaves of bizarre, weirdo Republicanism that's left in this state.
Well, don't look at me, son. I'm sitting in Knoxville, so, yeah, I mean, you know.
Yeah, you got your own problems.
I know. But the thing of it is, every time he appears in one of those, and they haven't done this for 2 years, every time he appears in one of those things, but they ought to run the crawl underneath it. This is a hand-picked audience. Tickets were handed out to by the RNC to certain selected people.
Right.
Every time he appears in something like that, that ought to be made to be put on a crawl underneath it.
Well, you can't.
So you understand this is not a true audience.
Right, and I'm not, you know, I didn't just fall off the turnip truck, and I was born at night, not last night. And so, you know, when that little white lady stood up in Wheeling and said,
God.
Mr. President, can't you please do something about why these liberal medias won't tell us the good news coming out of Iraq?
Can we see the other angle? It's like a theory reading it off the teleprompter.
Exactly.
I wanted to.
Right, right. You know, and the other hand reaching back and getting the $100 bill.
It's like, can we see her from the back and see the little box on her back where she's getting the IFT thing in her ear? I mean,
that's exactly what it is.
I mean, did you hear Randy talk the other night when she's talking about doing Lou Dobbs and then doing the Paula Zahn show?
No, I missed all that, and I hate it that I did.
She enjoyed, she said, doing Lou Dobbs. So that was pretty good. Said the other two people they had on, you know, said they had a real conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, said essentially when they got over to the Paula Zahn, it was Heidi, I can't think of what her last name is, one of the backup bimbets, as we would say, you know.
Oh, Beaker, yeah. She's the newscaster that reminds me of the Muppet named Beaker, you know, the one that works with the...
That's her. And it said essentially, Randy said essentially before they went on, said essentially the directors were wanting her and Bay to fight, you know what I mean, to argue and all this, and it's like, she was just, you know, She said she would do Lou Dobbs again, but said she'll never do Paula's thing, you know, that again. You know, said she did this because she just wanted to see if there was real news people still out there working.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she enjoyed doing Dobbs. Said, you know, said they had a real discussion. And, you know, it's just, it's like saying you just got to pick your things. I mean, you know, it's like now we watch Overman and watch The Daily Show and
the Colbert Report.
And Colbert. You know, well, sometimes the Colbert, sometimes it's like, the thing of it is, most people do realize it, but those who don't realize it, he's parodying O'Reilly.
Oh, it's pure O'Reilly.
And I mean,
the facial gestures, the mannerisms, right down to the graphics that they run.
I know.
The wagging finger.
Sometimes, though, he does it so well, I just have to turn away. You know,
yeah, me too.
It's like the fellow I before said. It's like with Bush. I'm to the point now. I can't take it for more than a few seconds at a time. I just it's like saying you just have to hit the mute button because it's like, if I could turn away, I don't have to look at the gibbering chimp.
What's the matter, you thief or something?
Oh dear, somebody doesn't have the just a second.
Honey, right.
Oh, we've got sound issues. Don't worry.
Well,
about
that happens to people all the time. You know how that goes.
Well, now that's one of the neat things about the chat room over at headonradionetwork.com. We got all these wonderful sound effects, and if you've got the little speaker icon not clicked, you hear things like "What's the matter, you deef or something?"
I know. Well, the problem we've got right now, and it's a good problem, is so many people on now. I'm having the problem now is if I want to listen to Randy. Now that we're going to have Guy on, I just essentially have to turn around and listen to Guy. No, thank God for White Rose.
Yeah.
If I have to turn around, I'm just going to have to listen to Guy on the repeat. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, ultimately, what our goal is to create a second liberal network that will provide alternative programming to Air America.
Well, you know what I mean? There's enough people out there now. You know what I mean? Different people. If you want to listen to them, like you listen to Tom Parkman. Local show out of POJ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the morning sometimes I'll listen to him, or sometimes I'll listen to Stephanie Miller, or you know, different people. You know what I mean? That's the nice thing right now is we actually do have choices.
Right.
So at least you know, and someday some. And, you know what I mean? And I like listening to most people most days, but there's sometimes I'll have something on that's not what I'm wanting to hear right then.
Right.
Say it's boring. It's not. I mean, you know, it's just something. It's not what I want to hear at that time. I can switch over and find somebody else. It's like, yes, finally. Because it used to be you were happy just to find one voice at a time.
Exactly.
So at least now it's nice to have choices. But I hope y'all have a good evening, and I'm glad you got your problems straightened out. I was like last night, I went, oh no, I thought maybe you'd gone up to Wheeling up there to scream and holler or something.
Yeah, and they carried me away and put me in a dog cage in Guantanamo. No, fortunately not.
But you never know.
Oh God.
but you know what you're talking about before though. You know what this is leading up to? It's leading up to the thought police.
Oh well, yeah, that's where you. I mean, I'm just astonished by this thing out of Texas.
I'm not. No. We know that's what you're going to do. It's the same thing with the guy with the kitty porn.
I mean, but yeah, it is. It's an extension of that. But this is Texas. This is, you know, Judge Roy Bean, law west of the Pecos, and all that crap.
Well, I'll be happy that they ain't got the judge in the truck outside. Just go ahead and have the trial while they're there.
Well, that's what's next. That's what's next. Luke, so good to hear from you, brother.
Bye, Bob.
You take care now, okay?
Bye.
Bye now. Now, that just blows my mind. I've got the little, you know, I like to monitor the chat and stuff because I can learn stuff. And I've got the little sound effects hickey turned off. And I'm getting freaking foghorns.
We're going for break.
Oh, brother. We're going to fix it during the break. That's for sure. This is Head On. If you want to get in on the fun and the frivolity, 877, the number 4, Head On, 877-443-2366. Oh, sing it, John Bon Jovi.
Bob Kincaid.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS. What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580. I go to peacecorps.gov.
Head On Radio News. I'm Bruce Birch. It was a bad day for the cruise ship industry. One person died and several more are hospitalized after a fire broke out aboard the Star Princess, bound for Jamaica from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. The Star Princess is part of the Carnival Cruise Line fleet. Meanwhile, 12 Americans died Thursday in Chile when the bus they were in plunged off a mountain road. The tourists were part of a cruise ship tour organized by Celebrity Cruises. Chilean government officials said Thursday that the bus company was not authorized to conduct passenger tours. A prosecutor says the driver may have gone to sleep at the wheel. The victims were all part of a B'nai B'rith cruise aboard Celebrity's Millennium Liner. The victims were all from New Jersey. In other shipping news, 127 people are feared dead in a passenger ship sinking off the Atlantic coast of Cameroon. Fishermen discovered the sinking ship and managed to rescue 23 people. Authorities think the ship may have sunk when high waves breached the overloaded vessel's wooden hull. The pillowcase came off the right wing again today. Republican talk radio morning host Dave Lenihan at right-wing station KTRS openly referred to Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice as a big coon. Lenihan immediately claimed it was a slip of the tongue. In a related story, a new study shows that Republicans and conservatives are much more likely to be racists than Democrats and liberals. the U.S. government ended its portion of the death penalty case against Zacharias Moussaoui Thursday. In a desperate attempt to get court permission to kill Moussaoui, an FBI agent speculated under oath that FBI agents could have caught half of the 9/11 hijackers if only Moussaoui had told them everything he knew. The government was caught cheating in the case last week. A lawyer was prepping witnesses in hopes of getting to kill Moussaoui. The Republican-controlled Kansas state legislature today told its citizens, if you've got 'em, pack 'em. The legislature overrode a veto of the state's concealed handgun law. Despite National Rifle Association objections, the law forbids carrying guns into bars, churches, and courtrooms. Only Kansans over 21 years old will be able to pack hidden heat. NRA members in Kansas might want to stay away from the Wolf Creek nuclear power plant just the same. Another law signed Thursday allows security guards at the facility to shoot to kill. There have never been attacks at the state's lone nuke plant, but the plant wanted to be able to shoot first and ask questions later. This is News on the Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
I can take care of myself. I can make a peanut butter sandwich. I can brush my teeth and I can give myself a bath. I can walk home alone from school. I can pick dinner from the trash behind the deli. I can watch the baby for the whole weekend. I can keep a baseball bat by my bed just in case there's trouble. Don't worry about me. I can take care of myself.
If you're in jail, who'll be there to take care of your family? Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Do you know who your kids are talking to on the internet? Last year, 1 in 5 children was sexually solicited online. Help delete online predators. Call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
A Kansas cattle farmer is suing the federal government. Meat packer John Stewart wants the court to make the federal government give him kits for testing all of his slaughter cattle for mad cow disease. Taking its cue from the corporate beef lobbyists, the Bush administration doesn't think it's necessary to test all cattle for the deadly disease. It's time for Canada's annual seal hunt. Canada said Thursday that the hunt will begin on Saturday, when hunters will be allowed to club baby harp seals to death on the ice floes where they gather. Canada will allow so-called hunters to beat 325,000 seals to death. The hunt prompts international outrage every year. People who oppose the hunt say they will take pictures. George Bush is showing just how powerless he really is. After expressing regret Wednesday about the possible execution of an Afghan Christian, Bush had his Secretary of State speak directly to the Afghan President, Hamid Karzai, about the case today. Religion industry fundamentalists in the U.S. are having a fit about the case because Bush can't stop the Islamic fundamentalist state he set up from committing the religious atrocity. The man's only hope may be that the court will declare him insane for adopting Christianity, sentencing him to life in an insane asylum. Stop everything. There's new information about the missing white woman in Aruba. Officials say another witness has come forward to help keep Natalie Holloway's case in the media limelight. People are now searching for the young Alabama woman's remains near a lighthouse. If you're in Texas, you'd better watch how much you drink. Texas alcoholic beverage officers have started invading bars. The intoxication police are arresting bar patrons for drinking too much in the bar. Lone Star State tipplers are said to be very upset. For the Head-On Radio Network, I'm Bruce Birch.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're Head-On with Bob Kincaid.
All righty, welcome back. Chat room sound effects, problems fixed. We hope, we think. Looks like, yeah, okay, good. You know the phone number, 877, the number 4, head on, 877 2366. Get in on the fun. What the heck? And email bob@headonradio.com because it gets pretty lonely here. After all, I am possibly the most boring radio personality Clint in Cody, Wyoming has ever heard. Of course, then again, it's Wyoming, and we know who comes from Wyoming. That's Genie Country. The guy who has to have the room at a perfect 68 degrees, four bottles of chilled Perrier or Calistoga water, and a bowl of M&Ms with the brown ones removed. Nah, I was lying about the M&Ms. That was Van Halen. And he must have USA Today, and he must have Washington Post, and he must have the New York Times, you know, those liberal rags. And the TV must be tuned to Fox News. This is just embarrassing. This is just embarrassing. This is the kind of stuff you get from royalty. And then, where's my stack? Yeah, here it is. There was a note at the bottom. This is just beautiful. If the hotel would like to put a gift in the suite, please let the advance office know ASAP. Please also make sure someone from the team or super volunteer on radio is there to receive the motorcade on arrival. These people think they're better than us. Do you understand that? They think that Dick Cheney would rather, What do they say at WD40.com? It's been X number of days since Dick Cheney's last heart attack. Please send butter.
Bacon.
Yeah, bacon. Yeah, butter's probably a deadly weapon. Let's go to the phones. Rick is with us in Panama City. Hey, Rick, you're head on. Thanks for waiting.
Are you there?
I'm doing good. Yeah, I'm right here.
I was busy chatting, trying to make humor on the...
Yeah, fun little board, isn't it?
Well, I had to make up a new name. It wouldn't let me in. I probably did something wrong.
I think our good buddy John Fox is still working out some of the hitches and kinks.
Yeah, I couldn't come in as Panama Rick. I had to come in as Rick from Panama City and just write a bunch of nonsense. I don't know what to do with in a chat room. Because I gave him up back in like 99, you know. I got out of him because every time he went to a chat room, excuse me, I have a cold. It was always some guy that came right out and said to you, you know, the minute he got there, he just said, F you, you piece of crap, you know, and the other word.
Yeah.
That's what you remember.
Oh, well.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, okay.
Nasty, I mean, yeah, there were some nasty
people.
You know,
there were mean people. They were all mean. They were
and
like,
mean people suck.
They were, this is back, though, geez, I'm saying 99, I bet you it was back in 94, 96. That's how long it's been. This is my first chat room, and I can't remember. It is. It's at least a decade or better.
He's a virgin.
But at least all these people are, you know, they're behaving themselves.
Yeah.
All right. How you doing, guys?
I'm holding up pretty good. It was a little hairy there without Agnes for the first half hour or so, but God's in his heaven, and things are as they are, and Agnes is in her chair now, so everything's going
to
be okay.
Yeah, I know. I was talking to her, and... she says, boy, you can't cut it at all when she's not here. She's a nervous wreck now. She says she drives home fast, speeding. She's got kids in the car. She's a nervous wreck.
Running little old ladies off the road.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She turns into a menace. No, I'm just all broken up about this hate mail from Cody, Wyoming. Doggone it, Rick.
None of that's true, listener.
Yeah,
okay.
You tell him, Rick. It's
not
true. No, how'd your night off go?
Oh, it was terrible.
It was?
Yeah, I mean, it was just awful. This is, you know, what I've got going here is like what? It's like an addiction, and not doing it is worse than doing it by far. And so,
I don't even know how to respond to that because Agnes told me. I asked her, and she said it was wonderful. For the first time, he brought me flowers.
Well, you know.
Oh, come on, I'm making all this stuff.
I know you are. I mean, yeah.
No, I'm just busting on Gunny.
No, it's
Bob.
Just, it's...
Gunny Bob, he drives me crazy, man. He's all over, you know, Agnes, and he's like, he's in love with her or something like that. I just want to scream out, I go, Bob, she's married. She's safe.
But Rick.
Huh?
I love them, too. I love all of you.
I know you, too.
See, I'd be lost without you guys.
You're so fair. You really are. My wife, if I had done any of that, man, she would have hit me in the chin, man.
Oh, no. See, I don't believe in spousal abuse.
Really?
Yeah.
Much.
And then I'll marry you.
This ain't the Mormon hour, Rick.
That would be mighty big of me, though.
Mighty big of me? Yeah.
But I love my husband. He's a very good man, and he's very good to me. But I love you guys, too. I'd be lost without you.
You're my adopted families. I pray every day that God blesses you both. Because you're wonderful.
As we do you. We do anything for all of you all.
Well, that's wonderful. Now let's get down to business.
All right.
I've messed with you enough.
Yeah, nicey-nice time is over.
Nicey-nice. Randy Rhodes, what's the matter with that woman? She's vacillating back and forth. Did you hear her show today?
No, I, quite honestly, I didn't.
It was putrid. It was actually putrid, and all you listeners out there, tell me if you don't agree with it. She was actually going for Feingold as the candidate for president, and then vacillating back to Hillary Clinton and trying to stoke her up at what a wonderful person she is for the party and all of us Democrats. Well, we all know the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. She is the wife of Bill Clinton, who gave most favored nation status to China, despite the 87% of us that emailed in and said, or wrote letters and said we didn't want it. He was all for free trade. He was all for welfare reform. He was all for making it possible that he could build more prisons instead of universities. This woman, I don't understand where she's coming from. But if she keeps trying to stoke Hillary Clinton just because the DLC is on her back now to try to get her in the saddle, she's going to blow it. We're going to lose 2008, and we might even lose 2006, because that only proves we don't stand for anything.
The thing, though, Rick, is that everybody's pushing Hillary, but Hillary. Now, I mean, I'm no Hillary fan. Hillary understands, however, she has a race that she must win in New York in 2006.
Oh, come on, that's a cinch. That's a fixed race. I mean,
Rick, have you ever been in politics at all?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
then you know that there's two ways to run an election.
Well,
unopposed and scared to death.
And this woman right here is scared to death.
Well, that's the way you're supposed to be. That's what I'm getting at. This is 2006. It's November. You know, we're not even 2 years out from the presidential election. And I guess there's a certain aspect of the sporting quality of American politics that makes people want to talk about it, and I'm as guilty of it as the next guy. But I keep trying to rein myself in and focus on 2006. That's what matters. Getting the House back. Getting the Senate back.
Yes, it is.
Howard Dean's very clearly enunciated plan to attack the Republicans in all 50 states. And
you're
Rick,
not
we're
do it when the country's lining up to drink from the trough of Giuliani and Hillary Clinton. You're not going to do it.
Well, Giuliani's not going to be the. See, you're doing it to me.
I am doing it to you. Because that's what the Republicans are putting in the heads of all of everybody that's out there.
Now, speaking of Hillary, if I can get my lovely wife to close out that dialogue box and minimize that and get to the desktop, there was a discussion about Hillary and Condoleezza Rice today at a St. Louis radio station. Are you familiar with this?
Yes, and I hate the whole discussion. It's a plant by the Republicans. The black real woman against the white rich woman elitist from New York. It's garbage. They're trying to force us to pick our candidate to be able to run Hillary Clinton. Don't you understand? They're not going to run this woman. She's black.
Well, exactly. Let's go to this clip. It cost this guy his job. Let's go to this clip, Rick. It cost this guy his job this morning.
Okay.
Yeah, right there.
That air is better.
There it is.
Bobby's up next. Bobby, thanks a lot for calling Big 550 KTRS.
I don't think that would be a good idea because we're going to need her to run against that goofy broad Hillary. we need her as the presidential candidate. I think she's better fit for that role against the other female that will be running.
She's pretty much said she doesn't want to run, though. She's come out pretty much and said, you know, I don't want to be
But we need to get somebody, and I think she's really cool. I think she'd make a great president.
I mean, thanks a lot, Bobby. I appreciate you giving us a call. She's been chancellor of Stanford. I mean, she's got just the patent resume of somebody that's got some serious skill. She loves football. She's African-American, which would kind of be a big coon. A big coon. Oh, my God. I am totally sorry for that, okay? I didn't mean that. That was just a slip of the tongue. She's definitely got all the attributes to be commissioner. I'm really sorry about that. All right? Actually, let's just take
Welcome
a break.
Welcome to the Republican
Big 550 KTRS.
You believe that, Rick?
Yes, I believe it because I've said it before and I'll say it again. You Dixiecrats don't fool me one bit.
That's Missouri, man.
Hey, they're not going to run Condoleezza Rice because they're Dixiecrats and they hate black people. And Belafonte's right. That's a house nigger. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is, quoting Harry Belafonte about Rice. They're not going to do it because they want they know that their electorate won't even go that far. They're not going to do it, but they want to instill that into the electorate of the Democrats to run Hillary, and Hillary and these people are playing good cop bad cop. You want to save this party, you got to run somebody like Feingold, somebody like him, or my good friend from Ohio. We've got to have real people. Right now we got Feingold and we got my good friend from Ohio, which his name is escaping me.
Kucinich,
who I campaigned for over and over again.
Well, there's
the man, and he could win if we just invest in him, if we just trust him. He's got it right. But right now, Republicans are still picking your candidate.
Well, they pick John Kerry for us.
Yes, they did. Yes, they absolutely did.
And you know, the DLC was hand in glove with that, Rick. You know, we've talked about this a million times, up until the scream in Iowa, Howard Dean was presumptive.
Yeah, and then he blew.
But the DLC money kicked in and put John Kerry in place.
That's right.
A lot of people took issue with some of the things that our friend Betsy said last week, but you know, she wasn't at all happy with John Kerry, and she made a trenchant point that I said the next Democratic president might be a Southerner, and she said probably will be a Southerner.
I almost hate to say this, because I don't know why the South is getting so much, all of a sudden, it's an act of God. The South has to lay its hand on our candidate. Whatever happened to Massachusetts Democrats like John F. Kennedy?
What happened to him?
I don't understand this whole distinction between this North-South thing, but that's something.
Dude, the Civil War never ended, okay?
Yeah.
It never did. I mean, as one who grew up down there, I can tell you.
Democrats are playing.
I mean, every third crappy car going down the road where I grew up had an old rebel soldier with a Confederate flag that said, "Forget hell."
Well.
And, you know, it still prevails.
But I think we're playing wrong. I think we're playing into the hands. I don't think we should pick a Southern Democrat. I think we should go to the Midwest and get ourselves somebody like Feingold, or to the Northeast.
There's all kinds of problems out there, Rick. What's his name? Ben Nelson. That cretin in Nebraska that was the first one to come out and say, "I'm going to vote for Judge Alito."
How about that?
Yeah, no, he announced his re-election candidacy today. And you know how he did it?
How he do it?
He said, "I'm announcing my re-election candidacy today," and went on to criticize. He said, "People who are slaves to their party."
So you got yourself a Lieberman Democrat.
Right. Well, he's Nebraska's answer to Joe Lieberman. Yeah.
That's right. He's a Lieberman Democrat. Lieberman Democrats are part of the Hillary machine. And if you run Hillary, and if you run Lieberman, and if you run that freak out in Nebraska, you're going to get the same thing you got now. They will purposefully lose. They'll lose.
Well, I'm going to ask you. You said you don't understand why the South gets stroked so much. I'm going to ask you a hard question. And this does not come. This does not come from a racist or any kind of place in my heart because I don't have it.
Can I qualify by saying this?
Well, just wait.
Yes,
just wait.
I was a damned Yankee who brought a U-Haul.
That's okay. But what I'm getting at here, do you honestly expect that the majority of America will vote for a Jewish man for president of the United States?
No, I honestly
okay,
don't.
There goes your fine gold presidency.
No, I said the Midwest or up north. The country is ready to have somebody that speaks right, that acts right, that has some intelligence. And right now, the South, quite frankly, can't do it. Even Warner can't, or not Warner, what's that guy from Virginia?
Yeah, Mark Warner.
Yeah, even he can't overcome this stigma that is attached to the South. America is ready to go back to the Northland and listen to people talk right and just have a little, and I apologize to all the Southern leader people listening. I'm not trying to be bigoted or elitist. I am not. But the country is ready for some sanity, and I think they're ready to look north. And we've got to find somebody up there, and I'm scared to death that they're going to look at Giuliani. I'm scared to death they're going to look at Giuliani.
He's made some overtures, but Rick Agnes is waving the skillet at me.
I hear you.
All right, we'll talk to you later, brother.
Love to y'all and all the people listening and callers. Thank you very much. And Gunny Bob, cool down.
Take it easy.
See you later.
Bye now, Rick. That, again, we've got some focus issues. 2006. 2006, not 08, 06. Okay? This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com. That's cupojoe.blogspot.com. Now get back to work.
It's Grace.
We're actually very boring people, Rama. That's why we call ourselves homebodies.
Well, it's Rama.
Be sure. I mean, group sex for us is when we're both involved.
That's a
It's really, really smart.
Worked the shoe
we're
leather
a nice
rope.
Little Petri dish here in Vermont because you can experiment.
Join Grace and Rama, homebodies, every Sunday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the web at homebodies.ramabahama.net.
I'm Bonnie Raitt. Remember how excited you were as a kid to go back to school at the end of the summer? Seeing old friends, making new ones, getting new books in a new locker, a clean slate. And music class, that special room where you went to sing and perform with your friends and learn all sorts of interesting stuff about great composers and instruments and different kinds of music. We remember our music teachers because they were so passionate about helping us learn to love music. They help spark a love for listening to notes and voices and rhythms that continues to enrich our lives even today. Know what? I bet your kids feel the same way about music class. Ask them and make sure they get involved with music in school this year.
A PSA brought to you by NEMC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. Music, part of a sound education.
A liberal light in the conservative darkness. Here's Bob Kincaid.
We'll make a film about a man that's sad and lonely. And all I gotta do is.
All right, on our way to the downside of the second hour of tonight's edition of Head On. I am Bob Kincaid, and I'm still trying to get over this mean-spirited little email. Doggone it. 10,000 emails in the affirmative, one negative. Quick one for you as we head down toward the half-hour mark. I mentioned a couple of nights ago
And many people may just think that I despise the Bushes for the, you know, they're Republicans, they're my political opponents. No. No, no, not at all. I have a real reason for it. And here's one of those reasons. Came out of the Los Angeles Times today. Oh, my God. Dateline Washington. As President Bush embarks on a new effort to shore up public support for the war in Iraq, wait for it, an uncle of the chief executive is collecting $2.7 million in cash and stock from the recent sale of a company that profited from the war. You know, when Helen Thomas asked him the other day, what was your real reason for going into Iraq? He said it wasn't oil, blah, 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 blah. And, of course, he never answered the damn question. Here's one of the answers. If a few thousand Americans have to die to make a fast buck for the member of the damnable Bush family, you know what? That's okay. That's just fine. A report filed with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission shows that William H.T. Bush, known lovingly to the family as Uncle Bucky... No, really, Uncle Bucky. Hey, lady, here's a quarter. Go downtown and pay that rat and all that thing off your face. No, not that Uncle Buck. This Uncle Buck. Uncle Bucky Bush collected a little less than $1.9 million in cash, baby. Cash! Plus stock valued at more than $800,000 as a result of the sale of Engineered Support Systems, Inc. to DRS Technologies of New Jersey. The $1.7 billion deal closed on January the 31st. Both businesses have extensive military contracts. Uncle Bucky was a director of Engineered Support Systems. Recent SEC filings show he was paid cash and DRS stock in exchange for shares and options he obtained as a director. A war profiteer and a member of the Bush family. Who'd have thunk it? I would have thunk it. I thunk it all the time. I expect it. If there is money to be made in human flesh and human blood, the Bush family will be there with buckets. That's how they are. They are the most no-good, worthless band of corrupt, filthy, criminally inspired miscreants that this nation has produced since Ma Barker. Nah, Ma Barker had a few morals, I think. James Gang? No, a few morals there, too. Okay, they are the single most awful criminal enterprise family that has ever walked this nation. They do not care at all whom they hurt, whom they kill, whom they maim. If there's money to be made in the process. And like I said, we still haven't gotten around to talking about Abdul Rahman, 41 years old, facing literally the chopping block in Afghanistan, where democracy's on the march because he converted away from Islam. Now, under Sharia law, if you are born Muslim and you convert away from Islam, you die. It's one of the shortcomings of Islam, Sharia law. No, I don't care. You call him Allah, you call him Yahweh, you call him whatever you want to, God Almighty. I don't give a tinker's damn. Believe what you want to believe. And leave me to believe or not believe as I choose. But this bass-ackward, medieval approach to religion that is practiced, no, sunshine, not just by them crazy Muslims, but practiced as well by them crazy religion industrialists. They're both medievalists, okay? Whether it's people who think that you can chop a guy's head off for deciding not to worship the way you like for him to worship, or, you know, the religion industry Christian dominionists, who say that, and they've said this, you know, the dumbest Christian on earth would be a better political leader than the most intelligent agnostic. Really, they believe that. The religion industry medievalists like James Dobson, who says, beat a child until he cries real tears. These are the sick, sorry, sad, sadistic, no good SOBs who are threatening the very existence of the entire daggum world. And I resent it. And they support people like the Bush family, so Uncle Bucky can cash in a cool $2.7 million on the backs of some grunt in Afghanistan and another poor dude slogging it out through the sands in Iraq. A few hundred thousand of them, in point of fact. But it's okay, because Uncle Bucky needs a new pair of canastas. No, castanets. That's where we are. We kill entire countries so that the members of certain politically connected families can get richer. Uncle Bucky's got to be pretty well up there in age now. Has he got some loony, loopy notion that he's going to get to take it with him? Are they going to cremate him on a stack of $100 bills when he goes? I don't understand it, not in the least. I don't get it at all. So we got to take a break. Your phone calls, of course, are welcome. 877, the number 4, head on. 877-443-2366. I'm Bob Kincaid.
The screen door slams. Mary's dress waves.
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. With all the attention that's been focused on Iraq, it's easy to forget that it was actually the second country we invaded after 9/11. And while Iraq has been a far more spectacular failure in terms of occupation, Afghanistan is just as bad off. The truth is that the U.S., through its puppet regime led by Halliburton employee Hamid Karzai, really only has control over the city of Kabul. The rest is ruled by local warlords. The Taliban, the ones who ran Afghanistan before we came in, have reestablished themselves across the country and are no doubt biding their time waiting to resume control when the opportunity presents itself. I bring all this up because of a news story that recently came out about Abdul Rahman. Mr. Rahman is facing execution in Afghanistan for the crime of converting to Christianity. According to Afghanistan's constitution, a constitution we push for, mind you, Islamic law takes precedence over all else, including individual rights. Let's not kid ourselves that this is a purely Muslim problem. There are plenty of good Christians in this country who would like to make it a crime to practice any religion except Christianity. Like their Muslim counterparts, they want a Christian theocracy where non-Christians would be at best second-class citizens. Our founding fathers made it clear that we should have not only freedom of religion, but freedom from religion as well. I hope we can save Mr. Rahman, but I also hope we can save ourselves. Now get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life.
To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Parents, did you know that high school dropouts make 42% less than graduates? Someone will have to make up that difference, and chances are, that will be you. That means paying 42% of their groceries.
Ooh, more candy.
42% of their dentist bills.
No more candy.
Even 42% of their therapy sessions.
It's all my dad's fault.
Save your money. Encourage your kids to stay in school. For help and advice, call 877-FORA-KID. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
I'm Bruce Birch, and here's a little taste of All Things with Bruce Birch. We have leaders in power right now in the seat of government in Washington, D.C., that are hedging their bets. They're hoping that by not, you know, jumping around and opposing the president too vocally, that they won't upset the conservative-leaning members of their party. And, you know, I got to tell you something. If it quacks like a duck and walks like a duck and has feathers like a duck and sounds like Daffy Duck, maybe the damn thing's a duck. We expect you to act a certain way when you get into office. And we need a radical change. I'm sorry, but we do need a radical change in our war policy. Join me next Sunday night as I welcome guest Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine. That's All Things with Bruce Birch, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, allthingsreconsidered.org.
Has the heart of a conservative pickled in a jar on his desk. It's Bob Kincaid.
All righty then. Now let's move over to this just for a minute. You've heard it on Bruce Birch's Top of the Hour News. Now you've heard the actual soundbite. Let's go back to that soundbite again, Agnes. This is, you know, I don't want to hit people across the head with anything. That's not it, dear. Down there at the bottom. But this is what you get out of the right wing. This is a discussion that took place on a St. Louis radio station this morning. Okay. It's distressing. It's hateful. His topic was apparently the idea that Condoleezza Rice should become commissioner of the National Football League. That's where these right wing freaks are now. They can't, you know, it was all politics all the time for, God knows, 8 years of Bill Clinton and for another, you know, and for, you know, 4 years or so of Dear Leader. All because he was Jesus's next door neighbor, George Bush was. But now George is in the tank, and right-wing yakheads like this cretin in St. Louis are reduced to babbling about making Condoleezza Rice the commissioner of the NFL. And as a consequence of it's just nothing. There's a new book out there, because I get this crap from Newsmax. Some wise-ass signed me up for... excuse me. No, some wiseacre signed me up for news alerts from Newsmax. But you know, exclusively at Newsmax, and you know, Ronald Reagan's son has written a new book, and that new book from Ronald Reagan, from Michael Reagan about Ronald, it's disgusting. It makes Ronald Reagan sound like, again, there he is again, Jesus. I learned the most important lesson of life from Ronald Reagan. Really? Really, the most important lesson of life you learned from Ronald Reagan, and that most important lesson was more important than love thy neighbor as thyself? Really there, Mikey? But that's where they are. They can't look to dear leader because he's a failure. He's a loser. He is down the drain. He deserves to be impeached, tried, removed from office, and extradited to The Hague and put in a cell there to stand trial for his war crimes against humanity. Period. And the right wing has no counter-argument to that. So they have to talk about making Condoleezza Rice the commissioner of the NFL. And that's where this picks up. Hear it again. Hear the right wing. Hear the Klan. Okay, this is the Klan. The Republican Party damned well is the Klan. Listen to them.
I don't think that would be a good idea because we're going to need her to run against that goofy broad Hillary. we need her as the presidential candidate. I think she's better fit for that role against the other female that will be running.
She's pretty much said she doesn't want to run, though. She's come out pretty much and said, you know, I don't want to be.
Well, we need to get somebody, and I think she's really cool. I think she'd make a great president.
I mean, thanks a lot, Bobby. I appreciate you giving us a call. She's been chancellor of Stanford. I mean, she's got just the patent resume of somebody that's got some serious skill. She loves football. She's African-American, which would kind of be a big coon. A big coon. Oh, my God. I am totally, 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 totally sorry for that, okay? I didn't mean that. That was just a slip of the tongue. She's definitely got all the attributes to be commissioner. I'm really sorry about that. All right. Actually, let's just take a break. This is Dave Lenahan. Big 550 KTRS.
I mean, this is like something out of Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And as Bruce mentioned in the top of the hour news, that study that we talked about on this program a couple of weeks ago that shows conclusively, once and for all, that Republicans are more likely to be biased against persons of color than people who identify themselves as Democrats or conservative or liberals. Conservatives, Republicans, racists. Democrats, liberals, tolerant. Now, of course, in any broad statement like that, there's going to be the occasional exception. But in the case of the conservatives and Republicans, it's not the exception, it's the rule, baby. It's where they live. It's a party that thinks about, you know, and you've heard it before. The Democrat Party has lost its way because it caters to the special interests. That's code. Just like it was code when George Wallace started saying it, when Strom Thurmond started saying it. It was code. Just like it's code when some cracker Southerner, and, you know, folks I was raised among. I got that right. I can talk about them this way because I know them. I grew up with them. And in many ways, in a Christian sense, I love them. God knows it's a challenge. But no, it's code. I didn't leave the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party left me with all their appealing to special interest groups. Code. That means African Americans. That means women. That means people of the Jewish faith, people of the Muslim faith. That means that they had to leave the Democratic Party because the Democratic Party became a party of inclusion. And not the narrow, bigoted, hateful, whiter than lily white driven slush operation that is the GOP. Let's go to the phones. Joe is with us, our good friend Joe Vecchio. Hey, Joe, you're head on.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing good. You?
You are just killing them tonight.
Trying.
You were just going at it. You know, I'm not a Southerner.
Right.
I was born in Brooklyn, but I've been down here for like 12 years now. Here in Atlanta, which technically isn't the South.
No, well, yeah, it's.
But I've been around a lot of Southerners, and you know the thing about it is I meet a lot of Southern people who are extremely intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
But here's one thing I have discovered about Southerners: Southerners are far more xenophobic than their Northern counterparts. Northerners will vote for Southerners.
Mm-hmm.
New York City went in a big way for Jimmy Carter. They went in a big way for Bill Clinton. You know, these were Southerners.
Right.
And in fact, not only were they Southerners, they were Baptist Christians. So they voted for them in the big way. I cannot imagine in any way, shape, or form, and I'm referring back to your earlier caller.
Yeah, Rick.
I cannot imagine Southerners, a majority of them anyway, voting for a Northerner. You mentioned Feingold. In fact, while you were talking about Feingold, I was watching him on The Daily Show,
uh-huh.
and he sounded real good. I'm not really sure he's presidential timber yet. Hell, we got till 2008 to figure that all out.
Right.
But the point is, the way I see it with the South as it stands right now, I think while we should continue Governor Dean's 50-state strategy and work with local party affiliations in the South,
mm-hmm.
I think what we ought to do, take it as a strategy, just to do an end-around completely around the South. Because I think the people of the Midwest, and I've lived out there before, too. I've lived in Colorado. I've lived in Montana. And while these people can be considered conservative, they're not part of the lunatic fringe necessarily. And I think they're the ones who are probably more fed up with George Bush. Because you gotta figure that his hardcore supporters are still down here in the Deep South. So
And Utah.
Well, you know, certain parts of Utah, because other parts aren't quite so bad. But the thing about it is, if you get the Midwest states and you keep the West Coast and you keep the East Coast, you can basically take away the South's power. You can have a majority consensus government with that. And then work your way back into the South. Because as LBJ, you know, you pointed it out, it was when LBJ signed the civil rights stuff. And he said it himself, said we just handed the South for the Republicans for the next few generations.
Yeah.
And that's still their mindset. And I've talked about them in terms of medieval agrarian as opposed to northern industrial. It's a completely different mindset. And I was amazed when I got down here the first time, the difference in attitude between a northerner, not just a northerner, but a New Yorker and a southerner. And one of the things that I noticed about southerners is that you can't really be a true southerner if you weren't born there.
Well, not from around here is part and parcel of the lexicon. But there are rational reasons for what you put forward, Joe. A guy who grows up in Brooklyn or the Bronx or, on the island, Jersey, you know, Boston, you're going to see Irish. You're going to see black. You're going to see Asian. You're going to see Italian and German and, you know, WASPs. And you're going to rub elbows.
And they're going to be in greater numbers, too. It's a much denser population up there.
Exactly. Now, the South, until the so-called burgeoning of the New South, which was basically a migration of northern people to the South, and, it is what it is. It was isolated. It was largely, with some exceptions, it was largely Scots, Irish, English, and that insularity, I believe, bred a lot of that xenophobia that you speak of. If you go back and you read Howard Zinn's People's History of the United States, you'll find that early attempts at unity between black slaves and poor whites who were not much better off than they were quickly destroyed by nothing more than the same kind of fear-mongering that we get out of the Bush administration today.
Right, and it goes back a long way. In fact, that was one of the reasons why a lot of poor white Southerners fought in the Civil War, because what they were afraid of is that if the slaves were freed, then they would steal their jobs.
Right.
And that's the sort of thing that poverty breeds. And until recently, the South has been impoverished. In fact, the South, for the most part, still is subsidized by the North. A lot of people, more of us know this than outside of our little cliques, but the South actually takes in more federal money than it puts in taxes. The Northeast states, the Western states, they're basically subsidizing the South.
Well, population dynamics alone sort of make that hard to get around.
Right.
There are more taxpayers in higher population density areas.
I think eventually the Southerners will come around because the policies are destroying themselves, but they're going to have to reach rock bottom before they realize.
Yeah, I mean, it's a 12-step mentality. They're going to have to get to the point where they realize that they are powerless. They're powerless over conservatism, powerless over the right-wing hate, and that the only salvation is for them to acknowledge it and try to heal themselves from it.
Mm-hmm. And they still maintain that attitude. Like for example, I see a lot of times at work, and I'm not just talking about white people. I'm talking about white people, black people. Down here, there's an attitude that the harder you work, no matter how much money, the harder you work, the more honorable it is. Whereas up in the North, people really stood up and fought for their rights as workers, down here in the South, they kind of went away from that. And I still see it to this day in the workplace, where people are actually, it almost seems like they're proud to be taken advantage of. And they just continue on making less money and working more hours, and they think that there's something to be proud of. And I've said this before, there's no dignity in that kind of poverty.
No, there's not, Joe, but there's still a hell of a lot of that lost cause mentality that remains in the South. And there's the light bulb has got to be turned on, and that's what we're trying to do.
Well, the river's got to catch fire for them. That's my favorite expression for that, and I use that for people who don't know where that comes from. That's from the Cuyahoga River in Cleveland.
Right.
Which a lot of people talked about, you know, all the pollution they were dumping into it, but nobody did anything about it until the river physically caught fire. And that's what I'm talking about. And the river hasn't caught fire down here yet. And it's still going to be a long way, which is a kind of a shame. Because, like I said, there's a lot of very intelligent Southern people that I've met, and certainly not all of them are, you know, on the lunatic fringe. Just the lunatic fringe are much more vocal, and they're much better organized, and they're much better funded.
That is, all three of those are the key.
Right.
Our good friend Rick in Panama City, our pal Luke in Knoxville, our good friend David in Nashville. You know, I hear our friend Quincy in Central Texas that I heard from a couple of nights ago, that we're out there. And the problem is, Joe, as I keep going back to it, we allow our brothers and sisters who are liberals, who are progressives, who are forward thinkers in the Deep South, we, in a way, enable their ghettoization. Because we buy into this myth of, the red state. And that's, I guess that's why Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi are so burned up at Howard Dean for even wanting to put Democratic operatives into Alabama and Georgia and Mississippi and places like that.
Well, they feel like it's not worth it, you know. So they figure it is a lost cause. But I agree to a certain extent that it is a lost cause in the short term, because it's going to take a while for their attitude to change about things. But in the long term, if you want to take advantage of it when things get bad, you have to build up that foundation, and I think that's what Governor Dean is doing.
Yeah, somebody's got to be there to pick up the pieces after the collapse.
That's right. Well, the thing that he said, and I've been to at least one meeting with him where he talked about it, said, if you want to know what my Southern strategy is, it's show up.
Yeah.
And that's you know, while it may not be much in terms of, you know, practical reality, the truth is that it's much better than what we've had before, which was absolutely nothing. The local Democrats, and I work for the DeKalb County Democratic Party down here, and they were furious that John Kerry did pretty much nothing for them during the 2004 campaign.
Well, we had to, I'm in West Virginia, and it was supposedly a battleground state, Joe, and we had to beg for yard signs.
Mm-hmm.
We had to beg.
And here you have Pelosi and Reid complaining to Dean that he's not sending as much money up to the leadership as they would like. He's sending it back to the states. And they're upset about that. And that's the problem with the Democratic leadership right now, is that they don't seem to understand that. And they're too much in their little beltway world there, and they've been there for a long time, and they still don't quite understand what's really happening. And I think that's a serious, serious problem. And it's going to take time, and that's what I keep trying to tell people and explain to people. We're not going to win these 2006 elections. I'm sorry to say it, but it's the truth. And a lot of it has nothing to do with how good or bad we are. It's just that's the way the demographics are. That's the way the gerrymandering is. That's the way the Diebold stuff is. You know, and we're building ourselves up for another big letdown by saying, oh, we're going to take back this, we're going to take back that. It's not going to happen.
There's some truth in what you say, Joe, but don't you fear that by prejudging it that way, that you're giving people a reason to just quit and sit back, opt out, and let the chips fall where they may?
I hear that a lot, and I don't agree with that either. What you have to do is you have to fight harder instead of giving up. And the thing I'm trying to fight against is the huge letdown that comes after, because we heard this in 2000, we heard this in 2004, and we've heard it in 2002, you know, and I heard people talking about, oh, we're going to do this, and when it doesn't happen, we get all down on ourselves and we say, what do we do wrong? Well, the problem is your campaign strategy is clap louder. It's the same type of attitude that says, so long as we clap louder, things will work out in Iraq. Well, you know what? Things aren't working out in Iraq. Things are not going to work go our way until we get the organization and until we get that sort of machine in place. And that's just going to take time. And you have to take the short-term losses in order to get the long-term gains. And you can say, well, maybe we don't have that kind of time. Well, the truth of the matter is we should have fought harder in 2000. Gore and the Democrats should have fought harder in 2000 to get him in the office. And they should have fought harder against what they were doing to Bill Clinton all through the 90s. Because if the Democrats had stood up to the Republicans in the 90s, then a lot of this wouldn't have been happening now.
Well, you know, there's a great political cartoon that runs from time to time at Bart Cop. I'm sure you've seen it, Joe.
The knife in the back, yeah.
Yeah, the knife, the big old butcher knife in Bill Clinton's back that says Dems.
Right. And you wonder why he had to run towards the middle. It's because the Democrats wouldn't give him a break. The progressives don't give Bill a break. The Democratic leadership didn't give Bill a break. But he was popular among people because if you look at him and you listen to him talk, you can tell that there's an actual real concern there. You may or may not think he was the greatest president in the world, but you can tell that he honestly went out every day and did the best he could for the country.
Right.
You look at the George Bushes of the world, and you look at the delays and the frists and all them, and you look at them and you think right away, you can see it right away, they're in it for themselves. And well, the only way they get you is by making you think that if you vote for them, you're getting it, too.
Well,
they're not doing it.
Look at the front end of that sound clip. This guy in St. Louis got fired today over calling Condi a big coon. Okay, I mean, that just came out of my mouth, and it just makes me sick.
Well, it's a Freudian slip, you know?
Yeah, and that's exactly, it wasn't a slip of the tongue, it was a Freudian slip. And that Freudian slip exists at, not very deep at all, Joe. That Freudian slip exists in an undercurrent under the entire Republican Party.
The only thing they're really worried about is not the feelings behind it. They're just worried that people will see them for what they really are. And they do everything they can to try to prevent that image of the Klan people. You know, they're the Klan without the hoods, basically, in three-piece suits and all that.
Well, you know, and so, yeah, like when Texas voted with that stupid little constitutional amendment about gay marriage, there were some groups, some progressives, who tried to point out the fact that the religious right and the Klan were on the same side of the issue, and they tried to ask, are you going to vote with the Klan?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that needs to that sort of we're above it, we're too genteel to do that sort of thing. The people who think that in the Democratic hierarchy who think that have never been south of the Mason-Dixon line,
mm-hmm.
because it's a fist fight. And the thing is, as long as we're above doing that kind of thing and pointing out that the Republican Party is the Klan, nobody's going to wake up.
Sure. It's anti-black. It's anti-woman. Look at the South Dakota abortion thing.
Oh, for God's sake.
And I brought up this video that I had seen where a guy went to some anti-abortion protesters and asked, you know, his very straightforward question. He wasn't trying to poke fun at them. He was asking very straightforward, do you think abortions ought to be illegal? Do you think it ought to be against the law? And they all said yes, because it's murder. And then he said, well, what do you think the punishment should be for the woman who has the abortion? And I said, well, we don't really want to punish him.
But it's murder.
If it's murder, if that's the point you're making, and you don't want punishment, then what's the point of making it illegal? And they hadn't even thought it through that.
No, these are people who react from their gut and from their gut only. Hey, we got to get out of here, Joe.
Okay, take care.
All right,
Bob.
Take care. Thanks for the great conversation.
Sure, bye-bye.
Bye now. And we will be back to your phone calls after the top of the hour news. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. The phone number, of course, 877, the number 4, Head On, 877-443-2366. We'll be back.
Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Hi, my name is Joanne, and I have mannequinism. Well, I did have it, but I'm not a mannequin anymore. Doctors said over 75% of my body turned into plastic. They said it's because I wasn't active in my community. Because I didn't vote or volunteer or I don't know. All I wanted to do was cry, but I couldn't because I had plastic eyes.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Head on Radio News, I'm Bruce Birch. It was a bad day for the cruise ship industry. One person died and several more are hospitalized after a fire broke out aboard the Star Princess, bound for Jamaica from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. The Star Princess is part of the Carnival Cruise Line fleet. Meanwhile, 12 Americans died Thursday in Chile when the bus they were in plunged off a mountain road. The tourists were part of a cruise ship tour organized by Celebrity Cruises. Chilean government officials said Thursday that the bus company was not authorized to conduct passenger tours. A prosecutor says the driver may have gone to sleep at the wheel. The victims were all part of a B'nai B'rith cruise aboard Celebrity's Millennium Liner. The victims were all from New Jersey. In other shipping news, 127 people are feared dead in a passenger ship sinking off the Atlantic coast of Cameroon. Fishermen discovered the sinking ship and managed to rescue 23 people. Authorities think the ship may have sunk when high waves breached the overloaded vessel's wooden hull. The pillowcase came off the right wing again today. Republican talk radio morning host Dave Lenihan at right-wing station KTRS openly referred to Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice as a big coon. Lenihan immediately claimed it was a slip of the tongue. In a related story, a new study shows that Republicans and conservatives are much more likely to be racists than Democrats and liberals. The U.S. government ended its portion of the death penalty case against Zacharias Moussaoui Thursday. In a desperate attempt to get court permission to kill Moussaoui, an FBI agent speculated under oath that FBI agents could have caught half of the 9/11 hijackers if only Moussaoui had told them everything he knew. The government was caught cheating in the case last week. A lawyer was prepping witnesses in hopes of getting to kill Moussaoui. The Republican-controlled Kansas state legislature today told its citizens, if you've got 'em, pack 'em. The legislature overrode a veto of the state's concealed handgun law. Despite National Rifle Association objections, the law forbids carrying guns into bars, churches, and courtrooms. Only Kansans over 21 years old will be able to pack hidden heat. NRA members in Kansas might want to stay away from the Wolf Creek nuclear power plant just the same. Another law signed Thursday allows security guards at the facility to shoot to kill. There have never been attacks at the state's lone nuke plant, but the plant wanted to be able to shoot first and ask questions later. This is News on the Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
I can take care of myself. I can make a peanut butter sandwich. I can brush my teeth and I can give myself a bath. I can walk home alone from school. I can pick dinner from the trash behind the deli. I can watch the baby for the whole weekend. I can keep a baseball bat by my bed just in case there's trouble. Don't worry about me. I can take care of myself.
If you're in jail, who'll be there to take care of your family? Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Do you know who your kids are talking to on the internet? Last year, 1 in 5 children was sexually solicited online. Help delete online predators. Call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
A Kansas cattle farmer is suing the federal government. Meat packer John Stewart wants the court to make the federal government give him kits for testing all of his slaughter cattle for mad cow disease. Taking its cue from the corporate beef lobbyists, the Bush administration doesn't think it's necessary to test all cattle for the deadly disease. It's time for Canada's annual seal hunt. Canada said Thursday that the hunt will begin on Saturday, when hunters will be allowed to club baby harp seals to death on the ice floes where they gather. Canada will allow so-called hunters to beat 325,000 seals to death. The hunt prompts international outrage every year. People who oppose the hunt say they will take pictures. George Bush is showing just how powerless he really is. After expressing regret Wednesday about the possible execution of an Afghan Christian, Bush had his Secretary of State speak directly to the Afghan president, Hamid Karzai, about the case today. Religion industry fundamentalists in the U.S. are having a fit about the case because Bush can't stop the Islamic fundamentalist state he set up from committing the religious atrocity. The man's only hope may be that the court will declare him insane for adopting Christianity, sentencing him to life in an insane asylum. Stop everything. There's new information about the missing white woman in Aruba. Officials say another witness has come forward to help keep Natalie Holloway's case in the media limelight. People are now searching for the young Alabama woman's remains near a lighthouse. If you're in Texas, you'd better watch how much you drink. Texas alcoholic beverage officers have started invading bars. The intoxication police are arresting bar patrons for drinking too much in the bar. Lone Star State tipplers are said to be very upset. For the Head On Radio Network, I'm Bruce Birch.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All righty then. Interesting comment from our buddy Clyde from WD40.com talking about the right-winger's comment in St. Louis today using a hateful racial epithet against Condoleezza Rice. See, the thing with Condoleezza Rice is I don't have to go there. I won't go there. Because she's a bloodthirsty killer, and it doesn't matter worth a tinker's damn what color her skin is. She is a murderess. She's a direct political and philosophical descendant of Lucretia Borgia. She's a direct philosophical descendant of I had another one right there at hand. The Empress Theodora of the ancient Byzantine Empire. And, of course, what Clyde pointed out to me, that was scripted. If you listen to it very carefully, maybe we'll do it again. If you listen to it very carefully, he goes right into it. That wasn't a slip of the tongue. Because he was right there. And, I've screwed up a couple of times on air. And his apology was, no, it was wrong. It wasn't, no, that was scripted. He meant to do that. Let's go to the phones. Gene has been waiting forever. Hey, Gene, you're head on. Thanks for waiting.
Oh, no problem, Bob. Okay, you got your tinfoil hat on nice and tight.
Yeah.
Really nice and tight. Okay, I know you've heard that, you might have heard this before because I've been kind of in the chat room talking to people about this. I've been thinking this for a couple months as far as a way of protesting.
Mm-hmm.
I've been thinking that instead of, hear me out.
Okay.
Instead of using the dollar, that we boycott it and start using a foreign currency with some of the other businesses in town that we would have agreements with as a show of no confidence in this administration.
How would you go about getting the foreign currency?
Well, I'm not sure. Well, I'm pretty sure I could probably, being in a northern state, I suppose I could go to Canada and just pop across the border and just buy the old the Visa card in and get Canadian Leaves or whatever,
mm-hmm.
or something like that. But, you know, just, I was thinking, because there's been some talk about, national strike and all this jazz, and I agree with that, that would be good, but I think not so many people would go for that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking this would be kind of another thing, and I can tell you just don't like the idea.
Well, I don't like the idea. I just wonder, because people in states like I'm in who aren't as near, say, the Canadian border would have a hard time coming up with the currency to do it. And then you would have to have the active participation of the business, and then the business in turn would get the Treasury Department down on them, in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I'm sure they would, but, I mean, it would be a way to, it would definitely make a statement. And I'm not so sure that that's not what's needed. So, you know,
the other side of that coin, the other way to go about it, is to stop supporting right-wing business and make a point of ordering across the border for stuff that you buy.
I hadn't thought about that. That would be a nice idea. That would probably save me some jail time.
well, you know, and that's a bonus.
Yeah, and that's true. And that would be good.
I don't think you could get the phone time from Guantanamo, Gene. Honest to God, I don't.
I'm sure I couldn't. I've been thinking about this. Obviously, you. I've just been kind of thinking about this because, you know, you hear things about China and Iran and all this jazz.
Yeah, it's going to be hard enough to use the U.S. dollar soon enough, Gene, I think.
Yeah, I just thought, well, I mean, it's one thing to say, you know, China, Iran, well, we can just, for a while anyway, about a week we can say, screw them. But if they were actual domestic opposition, that might be a little different. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know, every now and then I get a Canadian quarter in my change, and then I have to be real stealthy and sneaky and crafty and pass it back to the guy at the convenience store when I go for the candy bar or something, you know, put it under a regular American quarter and hope they don't notice.
Yeah, well, yeah, you can see this is what happens to me on two days of 4 hours sleep. So, oh, well, I just thought I'd
throw that. I appreciate it, Gene.
Okay.
Take care.
See ya.
Bye now.
Bye.
We are out of the box, and we got to think that way. You know, that there are businesses out there that don't deserve your patronage. What is it? Buyblue.com. There's a list of supposedly Democratic supporting companies. There are places that I have my reasons. I won't go to Bob Evans. There are, you know, and then, well, I'm not going to go into the other list of places that I get angry with. I mean, Walmart! Always low class, Walmart. Yeah, don't, no, won't go there.
But I have been.
Well, no, we're trying to break, you know, there's a new one that's opening up on top of the bones of some Confederate soldiers in Fayette County, and that place, I'm convinced that something like out of, something out of Poltergeist is going to happen there. And if you'll look past Action Alley, you'll notice where they invented indirect firing. It's terrible. But we do have to think outside of the box. And we've got to recognize the dynamic. Now Joe didn't quite get into it in his phone call, but in his report at the bottom of the second hour he did, and that is the business with this Abdelrahman. It's pitiful, and as liberals and progressives, our hearts go out to this guy. He just wanted to believe the way he wanted to believe. He was apparently moved toward Christianity because he worked with some Christian aid agencies that were helping people, you know, doing the stuff Christians are supposed to do, you know, trying to feed hungry people, trying to put clothing on naked people. You know, we're not talking about the Pat Robertson crowd here, but what they did, it, you know, this was, 13, 16 years ago? And now that democracy is on the march in Afghanistan, and Sharia law has been reestablished as the law of the land, and that says that if you deviate from Islam, you deserve to die. You know, fundamentalism. Why are we surprised? The right wing is having a hissy. And I mean, we're talking about real live, honest to God, right-wing kittens with crocheted tails they're having over Abdelrahman. And it is further proof to me, bear with me, please. It is further proof to me that these people are absolutely insane. I mentioned it in my conversation with Jim at the top of the show. The Dobsons, the Robertsons, the Reverend Donald Wildman. They can all quietly, my left hind foot. Man, they didn't walk, they ran to the ballot box to vote for a mass murderer in the form of George Bush.
They won't look at the pictures of what they have done. They won't dare countenance the photographs by Reuters and Agence France and Associated Press and CNN and Al Jazeera and Al Arabiya. They will not look at the photos of little blown up children and say to themselves, I had something to do with that. Now, by God, I hate what's going on over there. You hate what is going on over there. What we are asking our military to do over there is going to catch up with us in a hellish way. You see. But we will look at the photographs and the poor little children, you know, with stumps where their arms ought to be. And those are the ones who are actually alive to tell the story. The children who watch their parents be blown to bits and, you know, and are orphaned on the spot. But the right wing that enabled, and the right wing religion industry people that enabled that garbage won't look at it. Or if they do happen to see, well, that's a propaganda photo. That ain't a real blowed up child. That's a fake. That's photoshopped. We ain't killed no children in Iraq. We've only killed insurgents. You know, sometimes it's tough. You feel like you're having a conversation with Forrest Gump when you listen to these freaks. And they do. They swallow a mountain and gag on a gnat. There are over 100,000 civilians dead directly as the proximate result of George Bush's decision to invade a country that had never fired a shot in anger at us. Even when Saddam invaded Kuwait, he invaded Kuwait, not the United States. And he placed a phone call to the U.S. State Department before he did it and said, do you mind if I do? And April Glaspie checked in with the White House and she wrote back and she said, dear President Hussein, the United States does not involve itself in Arab-Arab conflicts. Okay? And so George Bush decided all by his little lonesome self, well, with the help of Richard Pearl and Armitage and Wolfowitz and Condi and Stephen Hadley and Rumsfeld and Cheney, that whole murderous cabal decided that he would go kill him some Iraqi children. Because you can't enter into this kind of war where you shoot missiles into neighborhoods and not think that you're gonna kill some civilians. And what you have out of this is a willingness to slaughter people. That's it. That's all. It's what it is. It is the necessary criminal intent that is a precursor to a charge of murder or a charge of crimes against humanity or a charge of war crimes. George Bush knew or should have known that he was killing innocents. And then with this war on Afghanistan, he has the nerve to say, oh, we've created a democracy. Some democracy. Well, no, really, it is a democracy, isn't it? It is mob rule in Afghanistan, and that is what pure democracy is. That's why the framers of our Constitution didn't want anything to do with pure democracy. They set up a republic, just like the Romans had. And that, because democracy is very dangerous stuff. Democracy kills your Socrates. Democracy allows the rabble, the majority, you know, the right wing loves majority rule, don't they? They love all this crap until it works against them. Oh, they do love majority rule if they're in the majority. But if the majority in Afghanistan says that it wants to apply some thousand-year-old medieval law that says it's okay to kill people over which invisible being they believe in, well, then majority rule's not so good. There's quotes. God almighty. Tony Perkins. Remember Tony Perkins?
Norman!
He's head of one of these freakish charity. He's the one that was behind Sunday Justice Sunday that shoved the likes of John Roberts and Samuel Alito down the collective American throat. And he says it's a travesty that America can't save a good Christian, and there's going to be a martyr in Afghanistan. My heart breaks for this guy. Abdul Rahman. My heart breaks for him. He may die. Just because of which invisible being he chooses to follow. And the fundamentalists over here want to go kill some fundamentalists over there because they're being the wrong kind of fundamentalists to suit the fundamentalists over here. And yet they all believe in the same thing. Same God. No gamble, no drinky. The no fool around part, you know, they'll say that publicly, but, you know. But you get my meaning. Somebody, they want, have you noticed? Because, okay, we talked about the ugly, vast river of slime undercurrent of racism that runs just barely under the skin of the Republican Party. You'll notice that the American Family Association is hollering for the Bush administration to stop this execution. But there's something else you're not noticing. Hasn't come out of Dobson's mouth. Hasn't come out of Wildman's mouth. It hasn't come out of Tony Perkins' mouth. It would be simple enough. They offer the guy a plane ticket to the United States. And maybe they give him a house to live in and a stipend, you know, just pay him for being alive and being a Christian martyr. But he's the wrong color. Oh, Lord God, Billy Bob. I mean, you know, it's like the Southern Baptist Church. You do understand, you know, the Southern Baptist Church was formed because the regular Baptist Church had created a statement of faith, policy, whatever, that said, we don't care what color people's skins are who come into our church. We just, you know, we welcome all human beings. You know, it's like the little song you might have learned to sing in Sunday school. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Well, the Southern Baptist Church said, hold on a minute. Let's see, red, yellow, black, white. We like white. White are precious in his sight. So we're not going to be regular Baptists anymore. We're going to be Southern Baptists. And baby, that means whites only. So the one thing you're not going to see with regard to poor, sorry old Mr. Abdul Rahman, who stands to get his head lopped off by the Afghan democracy that George Bush created, is an invitation for him to, yeah, come on in, Abdul. Come on in, worship Jesus with us. Well, maybe we can find you a brown people church you can worship Jesus at. They will let him die. And they will love the... Oh, we got us a martyr, poor old Abdul Rahman. You know, he's 41 years old. He's a Christian for 13 years, and they killed him for loving Jesus. He's a martyr. We're probably going to make him a saint. He doesn't need sainthood, Brother Dobson. He doesn't need sainthood, Reverend Falwell. He needs a plane ticket. Yesterday. But you probably spent all your plane ticket money out there trying to make sure that a couple of dudes can't get monogrammed towels together, right? You spent all your plane ticket money trying to make sure that a couple of ladies can't pick out their own china pattern together. Spent all your money supporting the legislature of the great state of South Dakota.
where good Republican righteous men stand up and say that in the case of simple rape, did you catch this one in the debate about South Dakota, the dude stands up in the legislature, the good, godly, upstanding, righteous Republican Christian stands up in the South Dakota legislature and says, well, if it is a case of simple rape, I do not understand why the baby should not still be born. Oh, yeah, sunshine, he did. Simple rape. As compared to what? What kind of brutal rape? There's brutal rape and simple rape. You know, simple rape's like what happens to the woman when she dresses up like a slut and she asks for it and gets it on the pool table.
Aww.
That's simple. That's your simple rape. But your brutal rape, that's when a white woman don't want it, and another color fella does it to her. That's your brutal rape. I'm sorry, this is simple rape. Their phrase, not mine. Let's go to the phones. Peter is with us. Hey, Peter, you're head on.
Hey, Bob. You know, simple rape, that you took the words right out of my mouth. You know, that need to put him in a jail cell and let them hoist his bottom end up the air and see how simple it is.
No, that's brutal. That's brutal rape.
Yeah, that's brutal rape. Anyway, I've got a clue for you about your boy Clint.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, there's a study that's been released in the journal. It's a Journal of Research into Personality. And you remember, you know, back in school, and you know, really the younger kids, remember the whiny and the insecure kids? And
ran
to the teacher, and everybody was against them, and wah.
Yeah.
Chances are, your boy Clint was one of them.
A little whiner?
I am as serious as a heart attack. These folks did a study regarding, it pretty much came out with the fact that whiny children tend to grow up to be conservative. They did this on 95 kids, and what they did when they were in a nursery school, preschool, they were rated in terms of their personality characteristics by teachers and teachers' aides who had known them for at least 3 months,
mm-hmm.
and as to whether they were whiny or hard to get along with or insecure, blah, 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 various
belligerent,
who knows what. And so 20 years later, which is now, they followed up on it, and 20 years later they also figured in politics, too, and they found out that the whiny kids tend to grow up to be conservative and turned out to be rigid adults, and they're heavily centered toward gender roles, and they're very uncomfortable with ambiguity. And it's
highly authoritarian, perhaps?
Mm-hmm. Yep, just a little bit. It's interesting, though, that a couple of years ago there was another survey that came, or a report that came out this with the same information, pretty much, and it upset the right-wing bloggers so bad they were just blowing up with it. But get this, that even there was even a congressional investigation into the funding of research. They were so upset with it. Look, Bush can get away with anything on God's green earth, but they're going to check this guy out because they don't want to be called whiny.
But they are.
There's no end to the hypocrisy. But the really, 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 really second reason that I called.
Yes.
And this has really got me ticked off, too. I just found out that, the Dubai ports deal and all that. Well, now I'm finding out that the Bush administration's hiring a Hong Kong company to detect the nuclear materials inside cargo ships that are passing through to the United States.
Oh, God, here we go again.
I'm serious. It's a heart attack, dude. And I'll email a link later to you. I just happened to come across one. The administration has acknowledged it's a no-bid contract with the Whampoa Limited, whoever that is, and it's the first time a foreign company has ever been involved with running sophisticated radiation detectors. And in addition to that, the administration is now negotiating a second no-bid contract with a Philippine country to install the damn thing.
Because we don't know how anymore.
Because we don't know how. Because, it just makes me so mad. I've worked with high-tech people in some of these manufacturing, but, you know, we have an amazing skill set here, but, you know, they're sitting at home trying to sell, you know, their mommy's antiques on eBay to make ends meet.
Oh, God.
The whole thing is just very, very annoying. Very annoying.
Well, it's terrifying, too. And, you know, I think back to that, some of the outrages they get because, you know, silly me,
You know, I put like the radioactive boy in a bubble moon suit on and wander over to places like Free Republic and Newsmax sometimes.
I know. I don't know how you do that, dude. It's just like I feel like I need a bath.
That's what I'm saying. You know, I still get the decontamination suit off and I feel like I need a first rate de-lousing. But you know, Michael Reagan. You know, he's got his little right wing talk show, and he's got his book out, available only through Newsmax. And Ronald Reagan taught me the most important lessons of my life. You know, Michael, buddy, was he teaching those lessons at the same time that he was okaying, selling off American critical security assets? Because the business of selling off America's ports started in the Reagan administration, Peter. It really, really did.
Well, yeah. It's really amazing what things have come to. And, you know, blame the union, blame the, did you know, I was reading the other day that, you know, we've been through this stuff about, you know, the second coming now, and all, you know, this mark of the beast. We've been doing that for, you know, every 300,000 years.
Yeah.
Do you know that years ago, when they started talking about the union label, people were, some of the righties at that point, I mean, this is long.
That's the mark of the beast.
As the mark of the beast. I was so freaking horrified, I could have run from the room screaming.
Well, you know, that's the thing. I think we're going to have to get medication for that, Peter, because I find myself wanting to run from the room screaming a lot more. It's just day after day after day after blessed day.
I know it. And I've in reading that, it also referred to the fact that was one of the reasons they stopped the Look for the Union Label songs.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I used to love that. That tune still runs through my head. The International Ladies Garment Workers Union, Look for the Union Label.
Yeah, it beats Hail to the Chief.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and the thing is, I mean, that union provided good living and working conditions for a whole lot of people in a whole lot of shops.
Yeah, absolutely. And the latest news from Walmart in Florida, to give you the Florida flash.
Oh, no.
This is just the state of Florida. Walmart's cost the Florida taxpayers this year alone over $80 million because of not paying health care for over 20,000 of its employees. That's just Florida alone, one little stupid state. If you completely got rid of the Bush administration, Walmart itself would bankrupt the country.
Well, I'm still waiting to see what Walmart's going to do when China starts calling their notes. Because that whole smiley-faced little yellow demon that says low that prices every day.
That is a demon, dude. That's perfect.
That low prices every day thing, they're not going to be able to hang that in the window anymore when the yuan starts climbing against the dollar.
Yeah.
Or when they start, selling off a few dollars and exchanging them for euros because we're not that trustworthy right now. I mean, I couldn't believe that Dear Leader was out there today touting the American economy when GM, Peter, General Freaking Motors. I mean, that's going to be like taking a couple of stars off the American flag when GM goes down the tubes.
Well, it's true. In so many years, we used to say it's good for GM, it's good for the country, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And they're about to go under.
You know, this business of, I mean, of offering a worker who's got 10 years or more, they're going to offer him a severance package. And we're talking about 125,000 people here. A severance package of $140,000 to just walk the hell away and not have health care and not have a pension.
Right. That's right. And
how are they going to live?
Well, that's just that the Bush administration simply doesn't care. And if they get fired, it's because they were stupid and incompetent and they deserve to be fired because, you know, God only takes care of those who takes care of themselves, and then God only takes care of the ones he favors. So, you know, if General Motors crashes and those people end up out starving, it's because they weren't right with God.
Yeah.
Sick of them.
Yeah, it's sick. It is. And the whole, I mean, I don't want this dude in Afghanistan to die, Peter.
Well, I don't either. None of us do.
But, you know, again, I can't help pointing out that they're not inviting that brown dude to come to their little white church.
Well, this is true. And it's the mirror image of that is it looks like we're headed toward the society here, whereas if you drop being a Christian and change to a non-Christian faith, the same thing could happen to you here if it played out into the full extent of where it could possibly go.
Well, I saw a study today that said atheists are the most distrusted people in America.
Huh.
Really?
Yeah. And the article went on to say, atheists have now displaced Jews, Muslims, Arabs, and blacks as the group it is most acceptable to hate in the United States.
What? And so where does this research come from? I mean, since when did the queers and the blacks get to stop, you know?
Hey, you know, it's like Jerry Clower used to say, Peter, at least you're getting some relief.
Well, no, I kind of like it down here at the bottom of the barrel. I mean, I got to tell you, you know, you get used to it. You know, you cut a little window in your closet. There, you know, everything's kind of cool. But,
get a little breeze blowing through.
You're telling me that freaking agnostics and atheists are taking my job?
You've been outsourced.
Oh, freaking hell.
Hey, Peter, thanks so much, brother.
Love you. Take care.
Bye now.
Bye.
I've been outsourced. Heavens to Murgatroyd. Let's go to Gerard, our good friend in Indiana. Hey, Gerard, you're head on.
Hey, Gerard. Hey, Bob, how are you doing?
Doing good.
I had to check in for prayer meeting night.
Yeah, we bailed out last night, doggone it.
Well, I wanted to kind of bring you up to speed of what's going on here in Indiana in the South Bend area.
Oh, please do.
I just got back from a forum that was put on by the League of Women Voters and a local business organization of landlords, income property people, and it was all the candidates, local and state and federal, to the House of Representatives at the federal level.
Mm-hmm.
My representative, good Chris Jacola, on the Tom DeLay gravy train, did not respond. Neither did his Republican opponent in the primary. The two Democratic fellas showed up and answered. It was basically an introduction type thing, and then there was some time for answers for the candidates to answer questions from the audience. And, you know, we were talking about the prayer and the right-wing fundamentalist.
Yeah.
We have a guy here, and, you know, you think, you see this stuff, you hear about it on blogs, you know, you see it on your on the web, and you hear about it, but you don't believe it till you see it in the flesh.
Yeah. And then it just blows you away.
You know, there's a guy who is working in the county prosecutor's office who running as a Republican. He's running for two seats. He's running to take the district House of Representatives seats in the U.S. Congress. He's also running for county prosecutor. And he's blaming the...
Can he legally win both?
Well, he says it's constitutional for him to run for both because it's a freedom of speech issue.
Wow.
He cited the First Amendment, but the League of Women Voters moderated it very well. They gave the candidates, they were strict about their timekeeping, you know, and the candidates answering questions. But this guy, several candidates had several opportunities to answer questions, and this guy basically blames all the world's ills on prostitution.
Oh, he's one of those.
Yeah, and he wants to prosecute very heavily the porn industry, which, from my point of view, is not, you know, I think that's something we definitely, as a society, have to look at.
Mm-hmm.
But he's citing the Old Testament, and he's, you know, he was saying, you know, a question came up about health care, and he said, well, we need to take care of, you know, express better health for all of us. You know, he says that we should drive past the fast food restaurant because Moses said in the Old Testament that you shouldn't eat the fat with the blood.
You got a live one on your hands, Gerard.
And then he goes on, and he's he didn't really get a lot of time for it, but right at, towards the end, there was a question, and he briefly went into the history of, he had to get in the Islamofascist.
Oh, they love that word. Oh boy, they love to say Islamofascist.
Stay away from it, you know. And he was talking. He went back to the Middle Ages because there were, you know, the Crusaders, and there was a battle at Vienna, and you know, and somehow connected prostitution with the Islamofascist, you know.
Man,
and
did he bring his own snakes? And now's
know,
the and here's the part of the presentation where I drink the strychnine. Whatever
you know, I tell you though, but the guy looked like I hate to judge people on their looks, and I really shouldn't. But
no, go ahead.
He looked like straight out of Hitler Youth. I tell you what,
the perfect hair, the square jaw, the ice blue eyes, and yeah. Oh man, yeah, they're a scary bunch. And you can, you know, all you got to do is watch Fox for a little bit if you can stomach it, Gerard. The same people show up. I saw some goon on there yesterday talking about how it's not really a civil war yet in Iraq.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, if you give him the spiffy black uniform with the two lightning bolt S's on it, he's an extra in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
These are terrifying. Here's the million-dollar question. Does this guy have a chance out there?
I don't think so. The one thing I wanted to say, too, is that the two Democratic representatives for the U.S. House, both of those candidates, I thought, presented themselves very well. Both of them had health care. And the war in Iraq is major issues. Both of them are advocating starting an immediate stage safe withdrawal from Iraq.
Yeah. Sort of like the John Murtha, calls redeployment.
Right. In fact, one of them, you know, cited John Murtha as you know, someone he would look forward to working with in the House to see that happened. I just didn't want to encourage everybody once again. We always talk about getting involved. You know, there's got to be things, events like this all over the place.
Oh, yeah, especially now.
I found it telling that my representative, Chris Chicola, a few months ago, I went to a meeting about people concerned about Social Security when Bush was pushing that plan to privatize Social Security. And they invited one of these candidates who had run against before, and Chicola did not show for that meeting, and he did not show for this one. And I just find it, you know, the League of Women Voters has been around since, you know, just about suffragette days.
Yeah. I mean, was part and parcel of their gig, sure.
Yeah, you know, it's a reputable thing. People...
But there's some arrogance about these people, Gerard. I mean, real live, you know, dictionary definition arrogance. There are people that think that they are in safe seats and they don't have to show up. They don't have to answer hard questions from the public. And they think that, the religious right, among others, will carry them through.
Right.
And then they've got the campaign dollars from their corporate donors to spread around among the religious right and make sure that the vote comes out. Now, are you where you vote, Gerard? Are you on a black box?
Yes, we were. In fact, you're talking about Diebold?
Yeah, Diebold or ESNS.
Diebold or however you pronounce it. No,
yeah.
we do have paper ballots.
Oh, thank heaven.
Well,
then you've got a chance.
As far as I know right now, but our governor just sold out the toll road to a foreign company. We've got a toll road through the northern part of the state that runs from basically from Chicago to Ohio, which he just sold to a foreign company for an amazing amount of money, and they get to manage this toll road for the next 75 years.
75 years?
Yes. And they,
well, it'll be a dirt road by the time you're 75 rolls around.
That was, you know, that's one of the issues that's come up, and you know, it was, you know, by all accounts, it was something that the people did not want, but they rammed it through anyway.
Jeez, amazing. Gerard, thanks so much. Always good to hear from you.
Yeah, we'll be calling back. I'll keep you posted what's going on.
I appreciate it, and thanks for getting active, man.
Okay.
All right, bye now.
Bye now.
You know, I want to remind, you know, him talking about the freakazoid candidate, Gerard there, reminds me of something. And Agnes, dear, if you would close that dialogue box there, please, and minimize that. In Internet Explorer, this is something that was sent to me earlier today, and I've got it on the other computer. That's what presents the problem. Let's see. Yeah, there it is. This comes from America Blog, John Aravosis. This is just amazing stuff. The headline, it comes from yesterday. It was Wednesday's. Washington Post blogger called Coretta Scott King a communist on the day of her funeral. Now, the background on this is that the Washington Post has decided it's going to get back into the blogosphere. And they have hired a genuine, honest-to-goodness, right-wing freak. What's this character's name? Hang on here just a second. Doggone it, I can't find it there. But
I'll find it.
Yeah, here. Go here again, Agnes dear. Right there. He wrote for a blog called Red State under the handle of go up. Keep going, dear. Here we go. We're going to get there in a minute. Yeah.
Latin.
Well, at any rate, this character wrote, and this is what he said. Why is it that we have to accept the pantheon of the left and see their funerals televised, from Wellstone to Mrs. King? Why is it that those who participate in these funerals feel compelled to turn a solemn religious event into... here it comes again. Shall we go back and play the right-wing radio clip again for you? Turn a religious event into a deaf comedy jam spectacle of anti-Republican, anti-conservative boilerplate, known facts and demands for handout. The media and the left treat the Jesse Jacksons of this country and the Jesse Jacksons of the Middle East with respect, compassion, and understanding. Those of us who work hard for a living to provide for our families. Notice the dichotomy. Only white people, only good white Christians work hard for a living and their family. Humbly go to church and try to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. Beep, Iraq.
I
also think I have a clearer understanding of why the culture of so many black Americans in this country is below what it should be and is capable of being. The prominent black spiritual leaders like Joseph Lowry are more interested in subsidization from the man than salvation from the Lord.
The man trademark?
This is just amazing stuff. This kind of stuff is now going to be on the official Washington Post blog. I gotta have the mouse there, dear. I gotta sort some of this out so I got the right facts. Okay. Be right there. Jeez. Oh, this is some professional radio. Yeah,
The one thing that he says is that our God is being ridiculed. How many of you see the Christian
media? The guy goes by the handle of Augustine, and when he was posting his right-wing freakish rants, he always ended with a quote from Shakespeare's Henry V, "This shall the good man teach his son." This clown, some 24 years old, Ben Dominic, that's his name, Ben Dominic, said, "The president visits the funeral of a communist and phones in a message to the March for Life." I think we can get a little pissed about this. That's right. Yeah, what? Nah, I'm not going to make you listen to the hate radio thing again from the right winger in St. Louis. But, yeah, the same thing, the same attitude that allows you to call Condoleezza Rice, and I'm not, you know, I wouldn't stand up for this woman for nothing, but to use a racial epithet like that against her is the same mindset that lets you call Coretta Scott King, my God in heaven, Coretta Scott King, a communist. And Joseph Lowry's in it for a little more money from the man and not salvation from the Lord. You know, there apparently we've got right-wing lurkers like our buddy Clint. Out there, where the men, out there in Wyoming, where the men are men and the sheep are scared. And I'd like an explanation from the right-wing listeners, especially the ones that think they're good and they're upstanding and they're moral. How can you stand to vote with a party like the Republicans? How can you stand to be part of what is, in essence, my left hind foot, what is the Klan? Do these people, these folks who are supposedly middle class and are slitting their own throats and their children's throats and destroying their children's and grandchildren's future, do they understand that they are Klansmen? I honestly don't know. Now, on the other hand, because, you know, these people are just perpetually angry. You know, you had George Bush looking a couple of days ago, looking like he was going to come across the podium and just cold cock Helen Thomas. Helen, with all due respect to your profession, I think your premise is wrong. No president wants war. But they're all just so daggum angry. Now, I'm angry, you're angry, we're angry for a reason. We're being asked to participate in genocide. You know, they're using the tax dollar. We work our butts off to pay our taxes so that George Bush can go kill brown people for the hell of it. For Jesus. You got a right to be angry at something like that. These people are just angry because there are black people who have funerals. And now the American Family Association, this from the Sydney Morning Herald, is mad at Australia. Yes, that's right. The American Family Association is chapped at the land down under. A major conservative American lobby group set to unleash a campaign of protest against Australian tourism's Where the Bloody Hell Are You TV advertisement. It's debuted in front of 20 million American TV viewers, and the American Family Association is not amused. They were upset with the bikini-clad model Laura Bangle's use of bloody and L in the ad's tagline. They're expected to bombard Tourism Australia with thousands of emails and phone calls in coming weeks. But, you know, see, apparently these people at the Australian Tourism Board do at least have a little bit of a sense of humor. Because they said the ad's North American target market was well-educated, high-earning, widely traveled people from Canada and the U.S. West Coast. And I think, we have the right campaign today to jab, said a spokesman. Sorry, not so good with the Aussie accent, maybe. But in other words, that was a slap in the Reverend Donald Wildman's face. The people we're trying to get to come to Australia are well-educated, high-earning, widely traveled people from Canada and the west coast of the U.S., which, Donald Wildman, you ain't. You're not well-educated. You're not, well, okay, you're high-earning, but you're doing it, you're high-earning because little old ladies are eating little friskies from sending you their Social Security checks. But you're certainly not part of the target audience. I just feel pretty sure the American family who is watching TV with their children and they're exposed to this ad are going to be upset, AFA Director Special Projects Randy Sharp said. I don't want my children to hear that phrase.
it's a shocking phrase because we're not familiar with it. Hang on to that last quote, would you? It's a shocking phrase because we're not familiar with it. Welcome to Republican right-wing conservatism. The fear of the unknown, the fear of the unfamiliar, the fear of the strange, the fear of the different. Right-wing fundamentalist Republicans are in a straight line all the way from, you know, the people who charged Socrates with corrupting the youth and killed him for that, right through Torquemada, who burned women at the stake as witches because they suggested that newborn babies be bathed. Yeah. To the church putting Galileo in lifetime house arrest for having the temerity to suggest that the earth revolved around the sun and not vice versa. Up through the religious maniacs who slaughtered people. You know, why are they having a fit about killing a man for not being a Muslim, for converting to Christianity, when most of Christianity at one time or another has waged entire wars against other sects for not being the right kind of Christianity? This is a power struggle to the death. Between tastes great and less filling. It's pathetic. It's ignorant. It's bloody. And it's lethal. And now, oh God, poor Australia. The American Family Association is going to stop by an Australian.
When did they ever?
Thank you, Agnes.
You're welcome.
So that's the show tonight. Had to try to end with a giggle. The show tonight was, of course, produced for the most part by my lovely wife, Agnes. It was announced by Brian Reznor. Randy Kerboy is our engineer. Our good friend Ben Birch, who is out of town at this point in time, he's had a death in the family. I don't feel uncomfortable saying that. Our love and our thoughts and our condolences go out. He maintains the stream of this show and many other and the archives of many other fine liberal talk programs. Our considered thanks go out to our friend Shelby LaPrey at radiopower.org for carrying the program in delay on that wonderful radio internet project. And the show comes to you every night, rain or shine, mostly, when, you know, the little electrons are cooperating and not going haywire on some computer somewhere. There is no overestimating the kindness and decency and goodness of the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights and what they do to keep the lights on here at the Head On Radio Network. Every day, their members, thousands of them, go out and they build the American dream. And every time they make it possible for us to fire up for another show, they're trying to rebuild the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.